live. We recognize that every blessing comes from you. We ask, O Lord, that you give the commissioners wisdom in dealing with every situation that comes before them. Give them patience as they deal with the different people. Lord, as we interact with one another, help us to be civil and kind and loving toward each other. Lord, we ask that we honor you in all that we do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome all of you here this evening. We're glad that you came out to be with us. I'd like to go over just a couple of rules. I see there's a lot of people, and a lot of you may want to speak. You'll have your chance. Normally, we give you 3 minutes to speak, and if you want to speak, raise your hand. I will recognize you, and you can come to the podium, and I'll state your name and your address. If you wish to speak on something that's not on the agenda tonight, later on in the agenda, we'll have a time for you to speak then, and again, it's for 3 minutes. If you have your cell phones, if you don't mind, if you will silence those. And thank you again for being here. Number 3, approval of the agenda. I already have a few add-ons. We're going to add to the agenda number 16A, the board to consider approval of change order in the amount of $4,600 for the contract for rehabilitation work on the home of Raymond Beach, which is a rehabilitation through the Residential Construction Mitigation Program, known as RCMP, as agenda by the grants director. Also, I would like to add number 20, which is comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. And I'd like to add number 21, board discussion. Are there any other changes or additions or deletions or anything else to the agenda this evening?
Not here.
Okay. If not, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the amended agenda. Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dempse. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Bids, public hearings, number 4. The board to hold a public hearing set for this day at 6 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible to hear an appeal to a decision made by the Taylor County Planning Board approving a setback variance granted to Spencer Barrett, Steam Hatching, Florida. Okay. This is a public hearing, so I'm going to open the public hearing. You're here, you wish to speak on this item? Yes, sir. Come forward and state your name and address.
My name is Alan Rice. I'm Secretary of the Steam Hatching Oaks Property Owners Association. I live at 2200 Bell Drive in Steam Hatching. Madam Chairperson, Commissioners, and staff. First of all, I want to say that I support the Planning Board's variance recommendation for Mr. Spencer. But I'd like to give you some quick background, if I could, for just about 2 minutes. The Ancient Oaks Property Owners Association was created with the filing of our covenants of deed restrictions on December 9, 1980. Our subdivision was platted and accepted by the county in 1983. According to our approved covenants of deed restrictions, our setbacks since 1980 have been 15 feet on the sides of lots. All construction permits for the last 35 years have been granted in accordance with the 15-foot setbacks. In 1990, the county accepted a comprehensive land use plan, and we believe mistakenly placed our subdivision under agricultural 2, for Ag 2. When Ancient Oaks was obviously platted for residential use, the Ancient Oaks subdivision was platted with 126 one-acre lots, half of which are only 100 feet wide, imposing a 35-foot setback under Ag 2 causes our 100-foot-wide lots to be worthless since they have no room to build. It all goes to the setbacks. Ancient Oaks is a private airport community with homes and hangars. There's no agriculture at all. Private aircraft have wingspans from 30 to 55 feet. So the 35-foot setbacks make it impossible to build a hangar or accommodate aircraft, thus devaluing our lots, making them unusable for their intended purpose. Since all 126 lots are platted as just 1 acre, Ancient Oaks should be zoned as mixed-use urban development, which is best suited for 1 acre lots. Finally, we believe that this mistake in the comprehensive land use plan needs to be rectified. Ancient Oaks is ready and willing to work with the Planning Board and the County Commission to come to a satisfactory resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Good evening. Madam Chairperson, members of the County Commission. My name is Joe Joyce. I'm an attorney with Robinson, Kennan, and Kendron in Lake City and Live Oak. Our address is 582 West Duval Street in Lake City, Florida. I represent the people who filed this appeal, Charles Matchy, who's one of the landowners in the subdivision. We kind of have to start at the beginning here in order to fully hear this appeal. The Ancient Oak subdivision, as was mentioned, consists of 1 acre lots. Now, Mr. Barrett filed an application for a variance back earlier this year. We had a hearing in front of the Planning Board. I was there, Mr. Barrett was there, and I believe you should have a transcript of those proceedings, which is the record in this case. You're limited on in appellate jurisdiction to that record. So while I appreciate other comments may be made here tonight, that was the hearing, that was the record. You're confined to that when you're reviewing the decision of the Planning Board. So just as a matter of course, that's what we're looking at here this evening, and that's what you should base your opinions on, and that's what you should base your rulings on here this evening. So I want to talk briefly about variances and your own LDCs, which you may be familiar with, you may not be familiar with. There was some discussion at our hearing, and you'll see it in the transcript, of section 42-52, which is entitled variances, which applies here when we're talking about Mr. Barrett's applied for variance. And subsection B is what controls. And it says, limitations on granting variances. B1. Before granting any variance, the County Planning Board shall determine that, colon, and it lists 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 factors. And I won't read them all, but there's a couple of them that you should note when you're considering this appeal and when you're considering ruling on this appeal. And the first one is very important. Special conditions and circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land, structure, or building involved. The record before you shows that these are 1 acre lots. There is nothing peculiar about Mr. Barrett's land. It is one of several 1 acre lots that abut each other. There's nothing peculiar about that. Now, Florida law is pretty instructive on that issue, that something must be peculiar or different in order to justify the granting of a variance. Not only does Florida case law state that, but your own variance provisions in your LDCs also state that. The second is that the special conditions and circumstances do not result from the actions of the applicant. Here, Mr. Barrett was considering, at the time, buying this lot, knowing that there were no special conditions, knowing what the setbacks were, and knowing that they were in effect. So to the extent that he walks into this situation, the applicant walks into this situation, he knows the score. he knows what the setbacks are.
The next one is literal interpretation of the provisions of this chapter could work unnecessary and undue hardship on the applicant. Now, I've heard both at this hearing and at the last hearing we attended that there's some undue hardship because you can't place a hangar there. Well, lucky for us, undue hardship has been defined in Florida case law. And I'm citing specifically to a case called India Atlantic versus Nance, which is found at 485 Southern 2nd, 1318. It's a Fifth District Court of Appeal case from 1986. And what it does, it really lays out what an undue hardship is or what a hardship allegation is. And it's not that a building wouldn't be aesthetically pleasing, or it's not that you can't build specifically what you want. In the India Atlantic case, somebody wanted to build a motel on a piece of property but wanted a variance. And they could actually build a building, it just wouldn't be what they wanted. It wouldn't be economically feasible for them, which is kind of what you've heard here and what is in the record. Now, a hardship is defined as, a hardship cannot be found. A hardship may not be found unless no reasonable use can be made of the property. There is no competent substantial evidence in the record below, in the record before the planning board, that no reasonable use could be made of this property. No one argued that, and there's been no evidence submitted that no reasonable use could be made of this property. Stated another way, the Third District Court of Appeal, they said that a hardship must be such that it renders virtually impossible to use the land for the purpose for which it is zoned. I think if you take a look at the Ag 2 designation, residences are permitted. So no one's saying that there can't be a residence here. They're just saying you can't violate the setbacks. So when we're talking about these hardships that the planning board had to have found in order to grant the variance, they simply don't exist. No one has proven that.
I've got a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
All of my clients here receive an agenda, and they also receive issues, and this is number 4 on our agenda. And you've mentioned the term transcript.
Yes, sir.
And I asked our county administrator's office, where's the transcript?
I have a copy of the transcript here, and I believe it was forwarded to the board.
We have the minutes.
We got minutes.
All we have is minutes.
Well, I have a transcript here that my assistant, who's never wrong, tells me was forwarded to the board, so I'd be happy to provide that transcript. There is one mistake in it that your board attorney's noted as Fred Coverline, when I believe it's Mr. Curtis. But I'd be happy to furnish that for you.
Well, it really seems unfair to my clients if you're listing a transcript.
And is a transcript
we don't even have a copy of it to look at. And when was it sent to our offices? Do you have an email where it was sent to our offices, to the county administrator, or to me as the attorney?
I do not. I spoke with my assistant as I was on the way over here to make sure that was done, and she assured me it was. I can't tell you what day it was done, but I believe it was done not long after the appeal was filed, because that's when we ordered the transcript.
Well, I will tell you this, that I did not receive a transcript from your office by email, by mail, or anybody else, sir.
I have to apologize to you then. I don't know why that wasn't done, but I can furnish copies of the transcript to every members of this board if we can do it by email as soon as possible, if it's necessary, and I think it is necessary for the deliberations. If no one's had the opportunity to review it, it's certainly part of the record, and quite frankly, it is the record.
Well, also, well, the part of the records are the minutes also, sir, not just essentially the transcript. The board can determine whether they want to continue on with this hearing today without the transcript. That's up to the Board of County Commissioners. But I mentioned it, and I'm not casting any stones at anybody, but as a practical matter, I didn't get it. Of course, I don't make the decision. I just agreed to transfer, and I haven't had that opportunity.
Mr. Bishop, would you advise us not to go forward?
I think, no, not specifically, because everybody's here ready to listen to that. What you can do is you can listen to their presentation and reserve ruling on it with regard to reading the transcript and then set a date to make the ruling. I think that would be fair to, because he's come all the way from Lake City. You live in Lake City?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I live in Live Oak, but that's from my office.
I heard that Live Oak business.
You're one of the few.
I heard that, Mr. Joyce. So my recommendation, if you're asking me that, Madam Chairman, is to go ahead and hear it. And then you may determine that you want to read the transcript. You may determine that you don't want to read the transcript.
Okay, I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to see what's the pleasure of the board. Commissioner Moody?
I'd like to hear what they have to say right now, but I couldn't make a thorough decision on anything about it without reading the transcript.
Commissioner Page?
Same as Commissioner Moody. I'd like to hear everybody who's come and then reserve judgment until I've had an opportunity to read the transcript.
Commissioner Dims?
Seems like that's the right thing to do.
Commissioner Spratt.
I'd like to hear all the presentations, testimony this morning.
Yeah. And so I do too. So what we're going to do then is we will allow you to go ahead and we'll hear all the get all the information, and we will withhold making any kind of decision this evening.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I appreciate the board's consideration. And again, I must apologize that that did not make its way to you through some administrative oversight. I apologize to the board. So we were talking about granting variances and what a reasonable or what a hardship is. And I've kind of laid out now what that hardship is and that there needs to be a hardship that is peculiar to a piece of land. I think when you read the transcript, I set this out pretty fully in front of the planning board. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room here in looking at this application, because the variance that's requested is not unique. The properties of the land are not unique. It's not different than the other parts of land, the other parcels of land that are surrounding it. And therefore, when you don't have a unique situation, when you don't have a unique parcel, when you don't have that unique need for a variance, according to both your own LDRs or your LDCs, I'm sorry, it cannot be granted. One last thing here, and that's what I want to talk about, is item GB1G of section 4252. And I'll leave it to the rest of the crowd here. Neither non-conforming use of neighboring property structures or buildings, nor permitted use of property structures or buildings in other land use districts shall be considered a substantive basis for granting a variance, nor will financial hardship or gain be a justification for granting a variance. So what you're going to hear, I believe, tonight is that a lot of people in the subdivision have the same problem. While that's unfortunate, it's not a basis to grant a variance. If they want to amend the future land use map, that's a separate procedure. That is not what we're here about today. We are here on a very narrow issue, and that's whether the planning board should have approved this variance. There's been no evidence of hardship. There's been no evidence of peculiar qualities to this land. The non-conforming uses of neighboring properties are not to be considered. And I think if you go through your LDCs, you will see that the board did not have the authority in compliance with the LDCs to grant this variance. If the board has any questions for me, I'm more than happy to take them. There were some at the planning board, and I hope that my presentation will aid you in your decision.
Any questions from the board?
One question.
Yes, sir.
Looking at the map, some of the lots were bigger than others.
Yes, sir.
Basically, they bought enough property to do what they wanted to do on the property.
to meet their requirement to build what kind of house they wanted or whatever kind of barn they wanted or whatever. Is that true?
I'm not entirely clear on your question. These lots are around 1 acre in size. There's no 20-acre parcel and then a 1-acre parcel and then a 5-acre parcel and then a 100-acre parcel, anything like that. They're all substantially the same in the subdivision.
In other words, those 1-acre lots were split up, subdivided for single-family dwellings.
They're zoned Ag 2, so it's my understanding that they can have any permitted use within that zoning. But typically, a subdivision would be for residential use, which is, I believe, permitted under Ag 2.
Madam Chair, excuse me.
Yes.
So Ag 2, though, the restriction is that they can't build a resident. There's a 10-acre restriction on it, isn't it?
That's
so
right.
One-acre lots are all non-conforming.
Yes, sir. I believe that the subdivision was platted before your comprehensive land use map was put into action, so they are grandfathered in as non-conforming lots. So that's where they get their non-conforming size from.
That was in 1983.
And so this area, Ancient Oaks, airstrip, Ancient Oaks, I mean, are there other hangars out there, and isn't this... Wasn't this marketed and used and built out as an airstrip for a rural area with residents and air hangars?
I don't have any knowledge as to how it was marketed. I've never seen any marketing.
Have you been out there? Aren't there hangars out there?
I believe there are, yes, sir. From the hearing of the testimony from the other citizens that have built out there now. Whether they are in compliance with the setback requirements or not is another matter, and I believe that...
Well, it's for us not here today, I guess.
Exactly.
All right. But we'd like to know, or just interject that it's an airport where there are hangars, where couldn't it be conceived by people that want to build there that it would be a hardship if they can't put a hangar, there's not room to do that?
Legally speaking, it's my opinion that that is a no.
Okay.
And if you'll permit me, I'll tell you why.
Please.
So, what I said before about that India Atlantic case versus Nance, Florida has really defined what an undue hardship is. It's not that you can't do what you specifically want with the land in violation of the LDCs or in violation of the setback. It's that you would have no, let me make sure I'm quoting this correctly. A hardship may be found unless no reasonable use can be made of the property. The court stated another way, the hardship must be such that it renders it virtually impossible to use the land for the purpose for which it is zoned. And I believe in this case...
It's Ag 2.
It's Ag 2. You've got residents, you can... I'm not familiar exactly with what Ag 2 is. You guys probably are more than I am. But there's been no evidence presented that there can't be uses under Ag 2 for which these lots can be used.
Including that little airplane, the airstrip, right?
If it doesn't violate the setback requirements, yes, sir.
Mr. Page.
I believe I heard it stated that Ancient Oaks was planted prior to the LDCs being approved.
I believe it was platted prior to the future land use map being approved.
Land use map. Now, Mr. Rice, I got the name right. He spoke on behalf of what the restrictions are, the setbacks for Ancient Oaks, which takes precedent. The setbacks that the Homeowners Association, Ancient Oaks, does, or whatever the LDC says, which has more precedent?
Well, I would say that your LDCs control for setbacks. I don't know exactly. Let me put it to you this way: if structures were there prior to the setbacks requirements, they would be grandfathered. But since we're talking about a new structure, since Mr. Barrett's proposing to build a new structure, setbacks as they exist legally today, I don't think anybody's in dispute about that, what they are right now. because Mr. Barrett wouldn't have applied for a variance if he could comply with them, or if he thought he could comply with them anyway. So that's where we stand right now. He's proposing to build a new building that is not in compliance with the recognized setbacks, and that's why we're at the variance stage.
When you, excuse me, I'm sorry. When you forward the minutes or your transcripts, would you also submit that case law?
Absolutely.
To read that too. Of course, I know an attorney probably already has it. But.
Well, I've got a question. Have you reviewed the subdivision restrictions on inch notes?
I have, but it was before the last hearing, so if you're asking me to quote specifically from them, probably not able to.
I'm not. Did it have setbacks?
I believe they have setbacks as it relates to the water's edge, and I believe that there may be one other specific set of setbacks that I'm having a momentary lapse that I'm not able to remember right now.
Do you know of any other subdivisions in Taylor County that have an airstrip?
No, sir.
Okay. Wouldn't that be a peculiar use of property in Taylor County and to that particular parcels?
You cannot. I would agree that it is peculiar use. However, when you're talking about a hardship, it has to be peculiar to that parcel of property, not to a group of parcels as a whole.
We've used the term grandfather's been used too, and I read the, of course I didn't get the transcript, but I read the minutes, and of course the planning board, it appeared to me that the three that voted for the variance relied on grandfathering in those setbacks that were used in the previous uses of the land. Is that not correct?
I believe that was their interpretation. I don't know.
No. That's what I was asking.
Yes, sir.
Specifically, that's what I was asking, is that was their interpretation.
I believe so.
Now, is just one other question.
Sure.
Watch out.
I'm here for you.
Okay. I always say watch out when a lawyer says one question. With regard to Section 4272, variances of our code, and I will tell you that the code is subsequent to the subdivision plat. I believe this was subdivided, and these LDRs was after that. The land development code was after that, our ordinance on land development. I believe it was like 1990, if I'm not mistaken, in 1991 in that situation. I've been here a while. But anyway, is it your interpretation of Section 4252, 1A through E, that each one of these paragraphs is separate and apart, or are they cumulative as you look through them?
I'm sorry, Mr. Board Attorney. What sections are you referring to?
I'm referring to Section 42-52 variances, which you have alluded to just a few minutes ago, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'm looking at B, 1, limiting on granting variances, and it goes 1, and then it goes A, B, C, all the way to G, and
yes,
you read portions of those.
Yes,
are you saying, are those cumulative, or does it have to be every one, A through G? Is that your interpretation of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I would contend they're like check boxes. You got to go down and check every box. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know what your thinking was on that. So
that is my thinking.
Okay. Obviously, the planning board didn't agree with you.
That's happened to me before.
It has happened to all of us. It happens all the time.
I respect their right to have a different opinion.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me ask those questions.
Any other questions from the board?
One question. People in the past have bought pieces of property in advance, getting requests for a variance and only they could build there, and only they could get on the dock road. And my feeling is, somebody bought a piece of property, and a variance sometimes would help them over hardship not being able to build on their property. I mean, I consider not being able to build on a piece you bought a hardship.
That's why we have her, you know.
Yes, sir, and normally I would agree with you. However, when you buy a piece of property, knowing the conditions on the property, you accept that piece of property as you bought it. For example, in this piece of property where it's zoned Ag 2, if there was no reasonable use for this land where setbacks are as they existed, then you might have a legal case here, in my opinion. However, there's been no evidence presented, and that's something that's crucial for this board to consider. There's no evidence presented at the planning board that there is no reasonable use for this property that Mr. Barrett was proposing to buy as it is zoned. There's a number of uses for an Ag 2 designation, including residential. It's just that it can't be in violation of the setbacks.
But it was, he bought it thinking it was airport, basically, airstrip. And he was thinking about buying a plane and coming in there and building a house and having a hangar to put his plane in. So, and then the rules change and then he can't sell it.
Well,
that sounds like a, you know, a hardship to me.
Sir, Commissioner Moody, if I may, there, he actually didn't buy this piece of property before the zoning, before the variance was heard. It was actually contingent upon a favorable outcome of this variance that he was going to purchase this property. But in any event, he's on notice of the setbacks, so it's not any undue hardship specifically as to him, is of his own making, because he purchases the property with full knowledge of that.
Thank you.
No chair.
We'll copyright that matter.
I happened to be on the planning board back in 1990, and we had a good group of citizens, Mr. Fred Brett, Herschel McClellan, George Pierre George, I was on there, I don't remember, Bob Sheffield. It was a very good group of citizens. And, you know, this was a first for us. First for all counties in Florida, how you implement these things. And I'm sure we missed some properties, like Anchor Oaks, and did get it right. Consultants were hard to find. We had a consultant, one lady out of Crystal River, worked with us extensively. And I think we got that wrong when we put it in Ag 2. And it needs to be fixed, Mr. Rice. Which would be, you know, we have to go through the process of the planning board to amend the comprehensive plan. Now, I'm in favor of trying to help people. You know, that's just my basic nature. And personally, I think the setbacks that Ancient Oaks has is very, very, very legal. Now, I don't know if we can check all the boxes or not, but I will help somebody if we can. So, and we do need Mr. Rice to follow up and see if we can get this thing changed so this won't come back to us again. That's all I have to say.
I have one other question. Like I said, you need to watch out. Is it your contention that the Board of County Commissioners are only governed by the transcript, or is this appeal de novo? Now, this is not, we're not in court. Remember that.
I understand. No, I don't agree that the appeal is de novo as to issues of law. I don't think it's as to issues of fact. We're not opening up the factual record to introduce new testimony or things like that. The things I say here today are not evidence. They are just argument. I believe that the evidentiary hearing was held below at the planning board. So,
and is it your position that this board can't hear evidence?
I don't believe on an appeal. I've
got any authority for that?
I do not. I do not. I regret to say I didn't anticipate that question.
It's a good one, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Occasionally, we lawyers stumble into one of those good questions, right?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions from the board? If not, thank you so much.
Thank you, members of the board, for hearing me, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'll be short and brief.
Just put your name and address for us.
Spencer Barrett. I'm from Ocala, and we've already bought the property in Steen Hatch. You love it over there. We're wanting to buy this lot over there at the airport. I think we all in agreement that those 1 acre lots don't meet the definition of 10 acre lots, Ag 2. I don't see a whole lot of farming going on over there. So I'm pretty confident eventually this is going to get resolved, and I appreciate Mr. Page's remarks that it's just a matter of time of how you do it, and that's kind of what I'm banking on, is eventually it's going to change. But there were several comments that he made, but the one thing I want to pay attention to is when you do get the transcript, toward the end of his presentation, he talked about public safety. That was a problem, these setbacks. Well, I want you to go out there, and I want you to look on the western side of the property and see all the power lines. Then I want you to see, I think I sent you a picture, Mr. Bishop, of all the lots out there and how they're all lined in trees. This is not a public safety issue. So when you read that transcript, I'd like you to keep that in mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name's David Brown. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. And I'll, with due respect to him, this has caused a real problem for the board of directors. The setback room, you know, I'm with him. There was a mistake made back when this was done. It needs to be corrected. If it had been corrected in time, we wouldn't have this problem now. And he says there's no hardship. Well, a fellow did come out there and buy a lot, and then he went and found out that the setbacks were so close he had to buy another lot to get his house in there. So this was a hardship for this fellow. This happened before we had a chance to get into this. But I think there should be the setbacks that we have in our deeds and restrictions should be grandfathered in. This board approved them back in 80, so why aren't they still in effect? I mean, is this going to go on again and again and again? Can you come back and change them again and again or down the line? It don't look like it should be me. And it does cause a hardship to everybody out there because the property values are going down. So I'm not going to take 3 minutes to talk about this. I don't want you to realize that we have a problem with this. If it would have been straightened out to start with, we wouldn't have this problem today. That's basically it. And we want to work with you and straighten it out. Whatever we can do. If we have to change our restrictions, it has to take 75% of the voting people in there to change this. That's pretty hard to do because we've already got people that's wanting to do something different. So all I ask you is to consider all that. What the planning board did good. They made the restrictions even more closer than ours. I think in utter mud, as you call it, it's 10 feet on each side, and they come back to 15 on each side, which is in their deeds and restrictions. So, help us out here and get this straightened out and get it in. Let's go so we won't be fighting this again down the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? No one else wishes to come forward?
I did get a telephone call from a Cheryl Topping, who owns 6 lots, from what I understand, in Nation Oaks. She said she was sending a letter with a neighbor, but I haven't heard anyone speak her name. She just wanted to make sure that the board understood that she is in favor of the setbacks from the original Homeowners Association, the deed restriction being grandfathered in.
Anything else from the board? Okay. As we stated a few minutes ago, we're not going to make a decision tonight until we get a copy of the transcripts. And if you can make sure that we get those right away, then we can re-agenda this perhaps for the next meeting. Yes, sir.
I've got a copy of it, and so you don't have to send it. I'll send it to county administrator's office in the morning. You might want to send it to me by word, though. My email address is. This is just save time. And
I believe it's my own sense.
Yeah, Todd has it, but let me just give it to you real quick. Nobody else write it down now.
I was just trying to avoid giving it.
It's small caps, Law Bishop, LAWBISHOP, @ Fairpoint, FAIRPOINT.net, Mr. Joyce. It was nice to meet you.
You as well, sir.
Yes, sir.
Could we possibly just continue it to a date and time certain so I don't have to re-advertise?
Yes, you
can. Good idea.
Thank you. Okay, we'll see y'all next time. Thank you.
We'll let you know when the hearing
begins. Mm-hmm.
Do we need a motion?
Yes, to continue it.
Okay. I'll move. Does it continue?
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, I'm going to keep from re-advertising. It's got to be a date certain. So you got to put a date and time.
Well, why don't
so
you?
All these people know when it's going to be done.
Well, why don't you put it?
9 a.m. next
meeting. Next meeting.
Date would be. Can't see the time.
19th at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock on the 19th.
June the 19th at 9 o'clock.
Okay. Is that what you want your motion to be, Commissioner Dibbs?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
My second. For that.
Right. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 5. The board to hold a public hearing set for this date at 6:05 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible on the passage of a proposed ordinance to repeal ordinance number 2018-04 with regards to slow speed minimum weight zone in the Spring Warrior area. Again, this is a public hearing, so anyone that would like to come forward and speak.
No, we want to read it.
You want to read it first?
Motion to ask the attorney to read the title of the ordinance.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to read the title only. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Yes.
An ordinance of the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida to repeal ordinance number 2018-04, providing for severability and providing an effective date. And for everyone's edification, this is a repealing, if you pass to repeal that ordinance with regard to Spring Warrior that we've been battling with FWC for
months.
Okay, now.
It's a public hearing.
Since this is a public hearing, is there anyone that would like to come forward and speak on this issue? Okay, if not, anyone from the board have anything? Commissioner Moody?
I'd love to see it take place as soon as possible. It's been a long time coming. You got some people down there that are really ready to see the signs in force. It's a safety issue there, and they're watching people both up against the dock, and the safety issue is for people hit the rocks and could hurt themselves there flying down that creek.
We, just for the edification of the board, and I think y'all all know, at least sent, was our fourth, I think about our fourth try at this, we sent an ordinance with regard to what Commissioner Moody's talking about with regard to, and of course, we come back, it comes back, hopefully it won't come back to us this time, and they'll give us the opportunity to pass that ordinance. And I, you see what I'm doing right here? Okay.
If they be seeking to enforce the sign to this in place, then we
Can you explain, can you summarize what the four problems have been? Can someone summarize it?
Everything from when we initially did an ordinance, we included jet skis in the ordinance. Well, jet ski is a Kawasaki product, so they kicked it back because of that. It's just been one issue that they kicked back, and they don't... One was that we didn't sufficiently identify all the parameters of the beginning. I mean, we told them we wanted the whole creek from the boat ramp to the mouth, and we had to get, we had to change and get GPS coordinates, and it's most of it's technical issues that we've had to straighten out with them.
Good job. We've been trying really, honestly.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve this ordinance, repealing ordinance number 2018-04.
Roll call.
Roll call, okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? You want to call the roll, Madam Clerk?
Commissioner Moody?
Yes.
Commissioner Bailey?
Yes.
Commissioner Dent?
Yes.
Commissioner Spradley?
Yes.
Commissioner Siegel?
Yes.
The ordinance is passed by unanimous vote of the board.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to consent items 6 through 8. Are there any questions about the consent items?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes.
There was, for lack of a better word, an egregious error in the minutes of May the 7th, and I sent an email back from Cindy, and she put off, and hasn't had time to reply back. So, I'd like to take number 6 off the consent item and deal with it separately. That's number 6.
Okay, so you want to remove item number six from consent. Okay. So you
want to
make a motion then?
I'll make a motion that we approve consent items 7 and 8. In deal number 6 is separate out.
I said.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Demps. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion. Now,
may I talk about number 6 in the minutes?
Yes.
I read the minutes most of the time, about 99% of the time. And, you know, with social media, it's political season, and folks are going to town hall meetings and saying it's in the minutes. And we want to make sure we try to get the minutes as accurate as we can. Now, I'm going to chastise my fellow board members. You know, when you read the minutes, there's something that goes back to Cindy, and she knows which commissioners are looking at. And I don't want to put Cindy on the spot, but she tells me I would probably read more minutes than the rest of y'all. All put together. Not bad. But I've discussed this with the clerk and what we think will work. And you correct me if I'm wrong in saying that.
Okay.
So let's prove the May the 3rd minutes tonight. And let's table the approval of the May the 7th minutes until Ms. Amy has a chance to look at it. So I'll make that a motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So the minutes from May the 7th, hopefully we can approve those on the next meeting. Okay. Public request number 9. Ray Curtis Law Firm to appear to discuss possible purchase of the old hospital building.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Bring us some good news.
All right, hit the lotto. I'm going to just bite off your hands. I had someone approach me, and they have a group of people that are loosely organizing that are interested in making a proposal to purchase the hospital at a very low price, but with strings attached to it, that it would, they would, of course, immediately assume liability for the structure. They would have a plan in place to abate the asbestos, and then a plan in place to renovate it into office suites on the first floor and apartment-type suites on the second floor. This was me being here is not to make you a specific proposal, but to kind of gauge the board's interest on that, hear any questions on it, so that I can go back to my client and say, hey, here are some of the issues that the board has raised on this kind of loose concept or proposal. Here are some of the things that the county attorney raised that would be things that need to be thought of and gone through, so that I can get back and see if, given the concerns of the board and the county attorney, whether or not this board or this group wants to move further forward, and if so, I'll be back here before you saying, hey, I've got some people that are interested. Now, I've written a letter that to Mr. Lakey, and kind of said the reason I want to come here before is just to have a little bit of discussion on this, and that I also understand, and this group of people I represent understand, that there's probably a more formalized process as far as putting something potentially up for bid or something like that. But there's no point at my side or your side putting much legwork into it if this board says, I don't really care what the numbers or the other caveats look like, that doesn't interest me. But if this board says, I like the concept of getting the liability hands off my hands quickly, so long as promises get followed through on, I want to hear what you have in mind so that I can take it back to this group. We can work on putting something more solid as a proposal up.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
If I may. I believe that parcel is approximately 8 acres.
Yes, sir.
And your proposal is to purchase the whole 8-acre parcel?
No, sir. My understanding is the parcel as it currently sits on the property appraiser's map and by legal description includes the health department as well, so it would be or some contiguous property anyway, not just the hospital building. We're really looking about at just the old hospital. Okay. Well, let me say it's contiguous to another piece. So it would have to be a carve out.
Okay.
The interest is not in taking something more than the old hospital. It's
immediate. Oh, a curve parking lot.
Yes, sir.
What about the old wing or the old little hospital that burned that's behind the 2-story building?
I don't know the answer.
The morgue, the answer
that.
Excuse me.
Pardon?
Where the morgue and so forth was that.
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer to that. And you know we have an RFP.
I understand that.
Out for asbestos removal.
Yes, sir.
I would want to see how that number comes in.
Sure.
So, you know.
And it's set for bids on the board
to
review on July the
17th. Sure. But and it may be that those bids come in and it makes more sense for this board to move down that path. This group just came to me and said, raise this to the board so that if they don't get bids that they like or something else, that we already have a work in progress and an idea that's rolling. If it's something you've got to put out for bids, someone else may beat this group and put in a better bid for it. But at least it gives you an alternate if your bids don't come back the way you like or that you're hoping.
Now, as a practical matter, I think Mr. Bishop would concur that we just couldn't just set up a new group for the process.
Correct.
To advertise the rules.
Yes, sir.
And then everybody, it would probably be a bid process if we were selling.
Yes. Well, in the history of this board, as long as I've been the attorney, with regard to this, you know, we did a trade one time, if you recall that. But in this case, I think that the proper method would be by seal bid on it. And I did have a question for learned counsel. I'm just full of stuff tonight.
It's so good.
It would include the parking lot, though, too, would it not?
Yes.
Because, you know, you said in your letter that you were planning maybe to make offices out of it or whatever.
Yes.
As a practical matter. So when you say a carve-out, if any advertisement that we publish with regard to sealed bids, we need to be able to describe exactly what you're planning on taking bids for. And then the second thing I wanted to make sure that everybody understands, and I'm sure that Ray understands this too, with regard to our RFP or RFQ, whatever we did for getting rid of the asbestos, we put in our bid packages that we had, that this board has the absolute right to reject any and all bids. So your client should be aware of that. It's not a done deal that they're going to issue and accept a bid for that, for the asbestos removal.
Sure.
Okay. Thank Everybody you. Understand that yes. here on the board? Okay.
I do want to know what the asbestos abatement proposal is going to be. I too would like to know exactly what acreage they want, and I'd like to know the value of that acreage. There are many questions surrounding this. Lots of questions out there. We've had somebody that obviously wants to purchase this for $10,000, and I haven't heard, I've heard just general penalties about it. I'd like to know, for us to discuss the options that we have here, do we really want to sell it? We want to get the asbestos removal cost and then have it removed and then sell it for a higher price? Or do we want to remove the asbestos and do something with the building ourselves? There's a lot of questions. I'm in no hurry because I don't want to jump to anything quickly. I would like to hear from the public. I've learned very well let's involve the public. I want to hear what they have to say. And I hope that we'll get calls and people will show up and give us their input on that too. That hospital does not belong to us. It belongs to the taxpayers of Taylor County, so I think it's just fair that we hear from them. However far we go with this, I'd like to know more about how many jobs there will be, what wages, how long would it be before construction, how many construction jobs would it create, if we did decide to do this, it being contingent on there being a date certain for the asbestos to be removed and a date certain for construction to be started and finished. So there's lots and lots of questions that I have concerning this. And again, I'm in no hurry until I get my questions answered.
And I think perhaps the only one of those things that I might ask for, not tonight, my client's not in a big hurry. They want you to have another option that makes sense if the option that you're currently pursuing is going to be cost prohibitive or not in the county's immediate future budget. You pose the question to me, well, what would the shape of the cutout be? Well, I suppose my client is going, what is the commission looking to move with it, and what does the commission want to keep? It's great if I bring you a proposal, but if you look at it and you say, well, no, I like that little strip of grass, or I like this, so not looking for any answer. This is more to get some thoughts going, discussion, so that my clients can you can give it some thought in advance, so that if the bid process isn't productive in the end, we're already moving down another potential path. No pressure. But I would fully expect, and my clients anticipate, there would be expectations with legal strings attached to them that if you are going to take over this, you are going to produce, or it would come back to the county.
Exactly.
And that's fair.
What I'm hearing from you then is that they don't necessarily want the 8.4 acres that they would be willing to purchase less than that, or have less than that in with a $10,000 purchase?
Yes. I don't have an exact configuration of the shape, and quite honestly, when I've looked at the map of that and the contiguous county-owned parcels,
I don't know exactly what 8.4 acres looks like and which 8.4 acres you have in mind versus what they have in mind. Again, this is very early discussion, but instead of them saying, here's a very specific proposal we'll take to the board, my task was to the board and just what the general concept. If the general concept seemed like something the board said, you know, if path one doesn't work out, we'd like to hear more with more specifics. Those are my marching orders, is to then go back and put more specifics together.
All right, from my perspective, I'm not saying no.
Sure.
But let's look at the asbestos.
Yes, sir.
Results of that RFP.
Yes, sir.
RFP. And then we'll be better able to be a little more firm with our discussion. But one thing I would say.
Yes, sir.
Behind the two-story building is that old one-story building. It has to be demolished. I'd hate to send you the two-story building in the parking lot. And the county be left with the liability to tear down all that junk. So, you know.
And that's the kind of thing that I need to know. One-story building is basically.
We're going to sell it. Get it off. The good with the bad.
And that's what I'm here
for. And then the price will be determined by sealed bid if we decide to sell it.
Yes, sir.
Right. With the right to reject.
Yeah, right to the right to reject all bids.
Mr. Bishop.
I'm looking at Florida Statute 125.35, Ray.
Yes, sir.
That's county authorized to sell real and personal property and to lease real property. It's good. We all need to look at that, you and I especially. One thing that's interesting in this, that when the property is determined to be a value of less than $15,000 or less, the board can sell it at private sale. So that's one thing that needs to be kept in mind. And I'm thinking, without knowing, that it might be real expensive to get that asbestos out of there. It might be more expensive getting that asbestos out than what the property is actually worth. I'm not saying it is, I'm not saying it isn't, but that's one thing. And our chairperson was saying, I want to know what the value is. Well, when you're selling a piece of property and it's got a value in excess of a certain amount, and I haven't got that far down on the statute, you do have to have one appraisal, and sometimes the last time it was like it was more, a value of more than $500. That's when purchasing and so forth. So there might need to be an appraisal. But in the talking phase of this, I think the first thing you need to do is certainly appreciate Ray's interest and his client's interest of this. The prudent thing was to do, the first thing to do would be to find out what those bids are. That, to me, that would be the starting point. Mm-hmm. Because I will tell you this, that Ray, and I know you have it because you live in the community, there has been a lot of discussions about that building, right, before this board. I think enough said on that. Thank you.
So, yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
I would love to see as many times this building been brought up and as many times people broke in there and stole stuff out of it and jeopardizing the taxpayer of Taylor County liability wise, climbing up and down through and going in through the ceiling and getting in that black mold and one thing or another. I'm all in favor of getting rid of it if we can. We've talked it to death every year, but asbestos has been an issue as far as the reason we get out for bids now to find out what it takes. And from doing asbestos, been around a lot of asbestos, removing the bath, it's always expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no way to do it cheap. And you can get different prices, different bids on it, but I think you're going to be surprised what bids will come back on it. But I'm all in favor of giving your client heads up. We're interested, and I feel like I'm in pleasure to board whatever y'all think about it. But I'm all for moving ahead with the process.
I want to get the facts, just like our attorney said. I want to get the cost of the asbestos removal, see what our liability is then, and then go from there.
When is the bid due date or the opening? What is that?
July
17th.
When did
I block?
That's the June calendar.
Yeah, but she said 17th earlier.
It's July.
July 17th.
That'd be our day meeting. Our day meeting. Mm-hmm.
So and that will be here.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
9 a.m.
Pardon?
9 o'clock.
Yes, sir. So I'll relay all this information back to my client. My guess is that we'll be watching to see what the board's reaction is to bid opening, and then if the reaction is not optimistic that you will go forward, I suppose. I would recommend my client to let me write a brief memorandum on if your valuation comes back as this will be the process, as Mr. Bishop was saying. Of course, any memo or like that, I'm going to send it to your counsel first so he can review and critique it, make sure we're on the same page, just to help facilitate the process.
Yeah, we don't want to shut any doors.
We don't want to shut any doors. You took the words out of my mouth. We appreciate you bringing this to our attention.
Yes, sir.
This could be the way I spend in the $750,000. We don't really have.
We'll know soon enough on July 17th.
Oh. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. See you, man.
Okay. Item number 10. Bish Clark to appear to discuss request for easement for water and sewer installation at Dark Island, property adjacent to Dark Island Boat Ramp.
I hope this will be easier than the last two. I've got my boss and Matt here from the property appraisal office, if you don't mind passing around. I've spoken to the board before about parcel out all there adjacent to the Dark Island Boat Ramp. And I went to the water board down at Newton Beach, and they agreed they would put in water and sewer, but I need to give an easement to you guys to first they said go under the road. But after some, and you were there, Steve, after some checking, the sewer is actually on the same side of the road as my property is, so we won't have to bore under the road. But I want to do this in a way that does not interfere with the boat ramp. Probably the best way to do it would be to bore under the road. We're not talking about putting the sewer into the road out there. To hook up for a camper, and so the sewer line is here, and we'd have to bore under the campground. We don't have to go under the road to the campground, but I need a utility easement. They won't grant me the permit unless I have a utility easement, which I've not run across that before with Tri-County.
Do you
want to
bore under the parking lot?
Parking.
Now, there could be a possibility we go right around the edge of it, but I think that would probably be the best way. One thing I don't want to do is trench across that parking lot. It's like a mess, and it's got fiber mesh stuff in there, you know, the big rocks. By the time you replace all that, you just spend a bunch of money on that.
Mitch, what you want to get the sewer and water over for?
What? I will put a camper in there soon. I'll probably run a spot and put one on the shelf and run a spot there. Okay. And eventually I'll probably won't get a hole in there, but that's what my plans are right now.
Is one camper?
Well, you can have two when they're doing the spot.
That's $2,500 square foot lot. I mean,
I've probably got 2,500 square feet there that's high and dry, and I might not all be contiguous. I don't know if that's down to the lot. But, I mean, if I could only put one camper in there, and that's the rules, that's what I'll follow.
Okay. Egress and ingress into this, how's that going to work?
Well, I talked to Danny about it, the building department, about wanting to get an easement for ingress and egress. And, of course, I'm sure this is not the final word, but what he told me is, I shouldn't need an easement to get across a public park. Now, I don't know that that's just what Danny told me, but I'm sure there's some way to get something to work out there. And the ideal thing to do would be for you guys to buy this because it's a piece of property that y'all need. Because we all know that access to the Gulf is the key to anything that's going to happen at the coast now. And it's a nice parcel. I told Mr. Lakey that I've lowered the price. I've got three different entities looking at it. I've told you guys at first it was $425, but the last price I've given anybody is $325. So
is that $325,000?
Yes.
413 acres.
Well, it would be for that. It would be for that parcel there. It's inside the red. It's 35.9 acres.
Okay.
And you got a lot of potential there. There's several places. You know, anytime you you an area has been dredged or filled, you can go back and put it back to where it was when they originally dredged or filled it. And there's several different places on there you can really enhance some nice boat dockage, put in campsite, maybe property manager, you know, and anyway, that's just down the road, but I was going to mention that. I did drop the price to $225.
Okay, I want you to show me exactly here, exactly what you're talking now. Where are you wanting to put the campers?
Okay. Right here.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. There.
Okay, and so the road comes to here.
Right.
So you have to drive. What is this area right here?
That's the parking lot for the.
Okay, so you have to use our parking lot to get to these two campers.
I have access to that already. I'm doing that now, but I don't have a camper there yet.
So you'd be, and what about parking?
I've got enough room to park in there.
If you have, you intend on having a boat and a trailer to go with that camper?
Well, if I do, I've got enough room to put it in there. I'll just see my boat, it's not a real big one.
Okay, without being in the parking
lot. Right, I'm not going to be in any. The only problem I've got is people parking on my property. I'm not going to park on the county's property.
We'd have to give up two parking places if we give you access to go in there. One time I went down there and somebody put a sign up, no parking, the two of our parking lot. Is there any other access other than across the boat ramp that you can get in there from?
I could possibly build a little wooden bridge there and get over this high land there. But then I would need to get just a little corner of that property right there to be able to get to this high land there.
You need a right of way to some
high land right here?
Yeah, that's a real high. That was all dredged out there.
So this is about high as the place
we're going to put it? Yeah, it's just as high and probably as big, too.
I wouldn't see a problem with you doing the corner here.
Right.
I've got a little bit of concern about
Madam Chair.
Yes.
One thing that we haven't talked about is you have to drive over our sidewalk to get in there to your property. So that would need to be. I don't know that you know how much repeated use it would take to damage yet, but some. Because there's a sidewalk that goes from the restroom over by the picnic table there that you have to drive over, which, you know, there's no damage to it now, and it's not a real high sidewalk.
Right.
I just don't, right now, this minute, I just don't think it's a good idea for someone to be routinely driving across our parking lot, and then you've got sidewalk.
But you can't drive the access.
Hold on just a second. We've got a lot of people during salt season, so this is going to be absolutely full. You're going to have children, you're going to have people, so.
You can't park right there. The parking's right here.
But still, to have to come across here, I just don't know if I'm in favor of that.
You keep a big boat ramp, they drive across the parking lot.
Let me suggest, Madam Chair, that we ask staff, our road department person, and our engineer to tell us whether or not we're going to damage our infrastructure here by crossing the parking lot. And let's hear from them before we make a decision.
Yeah, I'd like to know that too. That was one of my questions.
As long as I can find access, a way to have access to that property, I'll go around that parking lot, but I can't not have use of that property.
I don't have any problem with this at all in letting you go across this corner. If you can get across that way, that'll eliminate all my concerns, period.
It might take some, there's one little low spot right there, but what I envisioned was putting in a wooden bridge that could go from there to the road if I had to do that. And I could do the same there. But if you want to have your people come out and meet me there, let's take a look at it, see if we can come up with a solution, I'm all for doing that.
Vish, I know you've probably more intimate knowledge with this property than anybody
other than Danny. I've been stalked around.
Maybe other than Danny. whenever we put that park in there, wasn't there some restriction with DEP about maybe not putting a bridge there, but it can't be any more landfill or anything around that area there?
I wouldn't be worried about that.
Well, that'd be one of the things, Commissioner Spadley, that we need to check on while we have staff to see if there are any rent restrictions on that.
Well, and I mentioned the sidewalk. I don't know that is will be an issue. That's something that staff would need to tell us, because it's you're going across it now, and you've got it, a fence up there that keeps people from going in there.
I'm just trying to show what property lines all I'm doing there.
Right.
Okay, well, I'll...
Fish, yeah. Let me ask you a question. There's nothing on these 35 acres now, nothing but marshland and wetland?
Yeah, that, and there's some uplands there, too. There's probably maybe an acre of uplands there on the whole track.
Okay. 361, coming off 361, is that the way you come in now?
Yes.
Okay, what about Glen Gulfview Drive here? How much water across that?
Oh, you couldn't come across there.
You couldn't come across
there? No, you couldn't do that.
Okay, what is this right here? Is that?
That's the county dock. That's a little park there. That's a floating dock.
This is a ramp, that's the dock.
Mitch,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to
say
something.
Sure.
I'm all in favor of a person got a piece of property and the county can help him, as far as I'm concerned, in any way to be able to get on the tax roll and use a piece of property that you purchased. I'm in favor of it. Because if you look at this picture right here, you see both houses on county property and property between the county's property and the boathouses. They drive across county property every day.
I wasn't going to bring that up. That was pointed out to me a long time ago. Every boathouse on that canal is on the county property.
I realize that, and I take all that into consideration for every one of them people across the county property to get their boat out. And they drive in there and back up there, and none of that stuff, and they don't, you know. And they built the boat out on county property. If we can work with you in any way to do it in a kosher way to, you know, to be legal and straight up, I'm all for it.
I know you're sincere with that, and I do appreciate it. Truly. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't think we're able to make any decisions tonight because we don't have enough information.
That's all right. It's going to take about 10 grand to do it. I don't actually have that on my hip pocket right now either.
The riding pumps aren't cheap, you know.
You can't start till you get this right away from
you. Yeah, I see. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, personally, I don't have a problem with the right-of-way easement. It's the future use, you know, that might be in
the access to it.
I don't need it because if you're going to put something on the tax roll and build something down the road, I mean, it should be no issue now because people built my boathouses on county property and they ride back up there to them every day. So, I mean, no big issue.
But they're not crossing the parking lot.
No, not crossing the parking lot, but where he's talking about, best I could see when I was going to look at it, where he's going to be crossing the parking lot, nobody can park legally.
Can't leave right the parking there. If you park there, you're blocking the handicapped spaces, and you're also blocking access to the boat ramp, so you can't park there and block me out.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Okay, at this time, I'd like to take a 5-minute break.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a quick thing.
Item number 11, the clerk to discuss with the board a request to purchase property that was executed to the county for tax deed sale. Is that how you say
it? It's cheap.
It's cheap. Mm. You know, a while back I gave the board a list of a bunch of deeds that had been executed to the county on tax deed sales. I really don't know how many we got, but I've been approached about someone to purchase one that we have. And it was the tax deed application was in 2009. The property is over there behind, y'all know where Brother John Field is over here. It's a lot right behind there, so it's in the city. The open and bid Now, Conrad needs to look and see if we can do this. The amount of taxes that's involved in this one here is $2,397.09. Okay, if you advertise for bids, you've got to declare it surplus first, advertise for bids, can you have open a bid on a tax certificate so that the county can see somebody paid all this tax to get the certificate from then the county in this answer, because it's a county certificate.
So let me understand correctly what you're saying is the county bought the certificate. Okay.
No, the county didn't buy it. When they had the certificate sale, this is one of the certificates that nobody purchased.
Nobody purchased.
Right. It's not the county certificate.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm understanding. Nobody purchased it. So we're out no money.
Mm-hmm. And the county, on these applications that we actually proceeded that was county, that certificates, it was over 2 years. It's about $500 just to start that process.
Right. And now you've got somebody that wants to purchase it.
Yeah. He has approached us about purchasing that lot. I know you have to advertise for bids on it, but can we start the open bid at what the taxes is on?
I think so.
Okay, I need you to say, not thinking. Yes, you can.
Now I'm getting cross-examined by the clerk.
This one, as
Judy
put the county,
what was the assessed value on that property?
August 15th, 2017. Yeah. The assessed value. It just says the place amount of the certificate.
And you say the purchaser will have to pay $2,307.98?
No, only if Conrad approves that the county can advertise for bids and that the open bid will be $2,397.98.
Yes.
So the county does not lose any money.
Yes.
Because you put up at least $500 for the application for the.
The answer to your question is yes, ma'am.
So we could start out the bid with $2,397.98 plus $500?
No, the $500
is included. It's included in that.
Yeah, that was the total amount that was the open the bid at the sale when we had it, nobody bought it.
I still don't know exactly my mind where lot 1, block 39,
well,
DC
County. I got a map here that shows.
It's in the town set.
You know where Ziegler's Force used to be over here, just beyond there is where Roland Jones lived.
Yeah.
This person lives in Roland Jones' house, and I think this lot is either behind it or across the street.
I'm wondering if I didn't.
It's only 0.31 acres in the Jason Calhoun subdivision. It's lot 1, block 39. And I went back and did some research on it, and the person who actually bought it paid several thousand dollars when you bought it. And I don't know, it's probably somebody that's passed away and nobody knew they owned it and went through this process. So, yeah. But I got this map here that the property appraiser printed out for us. And,
well, it needs
to
be
a motion then?
Needs to get on the
right. Do we need a motion?
To declare it surplus?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we got a motion by Commissioner Dents.
Okay.
Second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Okay, now we need a motion and second to advertise for bids on the sale of this property with a starting bid at, well, you could just put $2,400 because it's $2,397.09.
Okay.
Is there
Okay. That's a motion.
Second.
Yes. Motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dempsey. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. County staff items number 12. The board to consider approval of statewide mutual aid agreement with Florida Division of Emergency Management as agended by Christy Anderson, Emergency Management Coordinator.
I read that agreement, unless Mr. Bishop tells me something wrong with it. This is something we need to do. It's some standardizers, the statewide mutual aid.
Yes.
If you look at the
Dave County, right?
Yes, sir. If you look at the, there's a sample authorizing resolution. You need to pass the resolution if you're going to. I read through this thing
several times.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so the first thing we need to do is read the resolution by title only?
Well, the first paragraph.
The first paragraph is
motion. Motion to read the first paragraph.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop.
Yes, ma'am. Whereas the State of Florida Emergency Management Act, Chapter 252, authorizes the state and its political subdivision to provide emergency aid and assistance in the event of a disaster and emergency, and it goes on. So.
Okay. Now, is there a motion to approve?
Move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Spradley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 13.
Well, you approved the resolution. Now you got to approve the agreement. And let me just tell you.
Approve the agreement. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'm not perfect.
You do good.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carried. Now we can go to item 13.
Well, I just wanted to tell for everybody here, this is a mutual aid agreement. Whereas, for instance, if another county has a problem, has a hurricane, and we don't have that they can ask for help from our county and vice versa. This is, and we've passed this before and signed it. And I think we have to do it every year now, don't we?
Yeah, we've been going off the one from 1998, and they've updated it, and we have to do it regularly.
Yeah, you have to do it regularly, so it'll be coming back again for y'all.
Did somebody say 3 years from now? 1 year.
That's the difference.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
Now, actually, this agreement automatically renews each year. Only the contact information needs to be updated. So moving forward.
Wait and see, though. Somebody who's justified their existence.
We will be changing them.
Yes, there'll be a change because somebody will be justifying their existence.
Okay. Item 13.
You have to write that down.
The board can consider award of bid for the Public Works Building Office as agended by Danny Griner, County Building Official.
Mm-hmm. Danny's not here right now, but you might recall we went out for a bid for a new public works building. This included a break room, two offices, 2,000 square feet. The bids came back. The only one bid was received by Bradford Industries for a total of $195,376. The bid committee met and they recommended, their recommendation is that you award this bid.
But just 1 and 4, right? Then the bidding committee recommends that the Board of County Commissioners accept the bid in the amount of $195,000 if funding for the project is available. If additional funding is unavailable, the committee recommends the board accept the base bid in options 1 and 4 for a total of $94,200, right?
Yes, that's what I read. Did you find funding for the other $94,000,
$95,000?
Or?
It would come out of contingency. But it would be more than that. 1 and 4 total is 94,200. Your total is
195,000.
Yeah, the yes. That's right. What size is the building?
2,000 square feet. And what will it be used for? You might remember there were some offices at the road department. They had to abandon because of mold issue. Mm-hmm. It is to allow them to have those offices back. Plus a new break room for road department employees. And the space that exists, we would renovate that and expand the shop, road department shop. Are you ready for a motion? Can.
Well, hold on just a second.
I think you got some.
Being the only got one bid on it, I'd love to see it go back out for bid again myself because that price looks kind of high to me.
Can I speak, please?
Well, it is I can see a lot of public criticism coming this way. Yes, sir, you want to come to make an address?
I'm Dennis Spiker. I'm with Spiker Industries. Yes, we were the ones that submitted the bid that was received on time and met all the conditions of the bidding documents. There's a couple of things that I don't know if the board is aware of. When we bid a job, we try to be as thorough as possible. As general contractors that have worked throughout the state of Florida, we have learned that the only way to do something is the right way. If we can't do it the right way, then we don't want to do it. There were several things that were not incorporated into the plans or basically the bid documents. Life safety, exit signs, emergency lights, ADA requirements. There was no request for grab bars, things like that. There was no request for panic devices on the doors. There was a lot of things that were lacking in the bid documents that we knew that we had to do because of the fact that we build throughout the state of Florida. And we don't want to get into a situation where we come to you every time you turn around asking for a change order. We're not going to do that, okay? So the bid that we've given you is just as complete and accurate as we possibly can. We have people that work for us that this is their job, to make sure that when we bid a job, it's as thorough and as possible. Without us ever having, unless you change the scope of work, we're not going to go back to you and ask for a change order. Because certain things are not in the bid documents. I mean, we know that they're required and we have to put it in. Or we get in trouble with the state of Florida and the construction license board. We can't afford to do that. Yes, our bid seems high, maybe, to us. It's not. It's been 30 days since we bid this project. Our pre-engineered metal building has gone up 8% since then. They hold their prices 15 days. And we have told Mr. Griner, I have told Mr. Griner, that we will let that go. I mean, we'll absorb that as much as we can. Another thing that we've done is we have all of our first-tier subcontractors are from here in Perry. Our electrician, our plumber, our HVAC guy, our concrete person. They're Perry people. And we always try to use local people as much as we can. Now, there's certain things that we can't buy locally. Like reinforcing steel that has to be pre-cut and stuff like that. Yes, I've got to buy it from either Tallahassee or Tampa or Gainesville. But everything else, we try to keep local. And that's the way we are. It's the way we've always been, and that's the way we'll always be. We have a say, and we'll do what we say, when we say it, and how we say it. And we do not operate any other way. You talk about maybe putting it out for rebid. That is a problem for us in the fact that everybody knows what our bid is now. Mm-hmm. And that really presents a problem for us. Now, do we decide then, do we want to bid it again? I don't know. You know, it's something that we would really have to look at. But it's not our fault. We did everything that we were supposed to do by getting our bid here on time and all the documentation the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah, you did, and I can appreciate the completeness of your bid so that you wouldn't have to come back with all these change orders that we're really accustomed to getting. And like you said, the bids went out. You were the only ones that bid on it. I don't think it would be fair to you to rebid because, like you say, they know what your bid is. Now, one thing I want to talk to the board about is if we went with the whole thing, everything that was wanted would be almost $105,000 or if we took that one other option of the base with options 1 and 4, then you'd come in a little bit under budget. And then what about next year? Could we budget the other part of it to do the other phase next year? Could we break it up into two phases?
I was not for breaking it up. Okay. Because we couldn't do the other two phases in-house. We just don't have that.
I'm not breaking it up either because it costs more money to do that other part next year.
I want to go ahead and let's just suck it up and do it. I did a little math over here. This is a 2,000 square foot building. Mm-hmm. It's coming in less than $100 a foot.
Yes, sir.
I mean, what more do we ask? I don't know what kind of floor you're going to put down. That looks like kind of a high number. Is there some way our engineer can work with you? We can do the value engineering?
We've looked at that, and I told Mr. Greiner that we would look at that, and like on the flooring, we tried to do that because you have click-lock flooring in certain areas.
Yeah.
We looked at the alternates, and they're coming in basically the same price. So that's, that's not helping us any.
And you're pretty well in the state of public for now. We've got the tape recorder running. That you're going to hold these change orders to zero.
Unless you make a change to the scope of work, we'll hold it at zero. Yes, sir.
All right, we'll hold it back.
So we could make a change that would make it less.
You could, but I don't know what you're going to do. You're talking about taking the base bid and then option 1 and 4. Option 4 is, there's no money there. I mean, that's not much. In fact, the canopy itself is in the metal building price, which is in the base bid. The only thing that's really is in option 4 is the pad and the exterior, all the exterior pads. If you look at the property, and I'm sure all of you know, you've got the one building behind it. It's got a sidewalk that's not in good shape, and we're going to have to put a side. We had planned to take out that old sidewalk that's at the existing building and fix it to where from one building to the new building, it comes down to basically a swale, and then we pitch the outflow to both sides. And that's what we saw when we came up here and examined the site. I mean, you just can't build a new building and expect for that water, the storm water, to just run off by itself.
Right.
I mean, I'm a civil engineer, so I've got to look at things like that.
In other words, you're saying there's things on the bid that you're adding stuff to it
to make it
state legal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And are you going to have that in writing where we'll know definitely you're going to do all those things?
That's not a problem. Not at all.
Again, too, we won't have black mold in the next 5 years from this thing doing that.
No, sir.
Madam Chair.
As long as you air condition it and have the ventilation, you're in good shape. So.
If you went with just option 1 and 4 and the amount of $94,000, the building wouldn't be
in. You couldn't use it.
That's the other thing.
We tied up money
out. Well, Lord, do you have $100,000 budget for that building in the current budget? You'll need $95,376 to finish out the project.
I'm Chairman Leonard, and make a motion. I move we accept the total package bid for the $195,370.
$76,000.
And to take the money that's needed to add to what we've already budgeted, to take that from contingency for capital.
Reserve for capital.
Reserve for capital improvements.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, a second by Commissioner Spradley. Any further discussion? the only reason that I threw that out is because that's what the that was one of the recommendations and one of the options that was sent to us that was passed on. So, any other discussion? Mr. Spratt? Yes.
I would just want to explain, you know, my haste in seconding that motion. This has been going on 2 years. There's mold in that old building. You've got restroom issues with men and women using the same restroom. There's just a plethora of issues, and then we don't need to just kick the can down the road to get it fixed.
And that's all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Who do I contact for getting everything else in order?
We can work with Annie.
Thank you. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
I'm going to thank you, gentlemen, here for providing us with some local contractors. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
No problem.
That's going to help.
That'd be good. Okay, item 14, the board to consider approval of Amendment 1 to the Government Services Group GSG contract for program administration services as agenda by Melody Cox, Grants Director.
We are now required to have our contracts reviewed by the CEO that we would issue to a contractor. They found it to be in full compliance, but they did recommend that we add an amendment to make sure we have full access to the records.
Is there a motion?
Motion. Second.
Motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 15, the board to consider approval of fuel supply agreement and branding agreement with World Fuel Services, Inc. as agenda by the Grants Director.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Debs. Any further discussion? Yes.
I read this contract. If you're late on the payments to them, they charge you a rate of 18%. 1.5% per month, and an administrative fee of 5%. They also, this is a small font too, it was a red flag to me when I'm reading them at my advanced age. Seller has the right, it's on page 3 of 5, seller has the right to modify, delete, and or otherwise change the insurance requirements set forth unilaterally. Unilaterally. Indemnification. We're indemnifying them. We can't indemnify them. You know, we're not going to waive our sovereign immunity.
Madam Chair. I'm under the impression this is the same agreement we had with the fuel.
It's the
same. But it's been in place for 5 years.
It's the same agreement.
Same agreement? Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it is. I'd like to see that, because if this got past me, then okay. But,
but all right, I will withdraw my motion to approve. Make a motion to table this until Mr. Bishop has time to prepare the two agreements.
Okay. There's the assignment waiver that the agreement may not be assigned by the customer, but they can assign it. Governing law disputes, I agree with it that it be Florida law, but I don't agree that venue should be in Dade County. You know, and waiving trial by jury. If this got by me, I don't think it came to me. Because those are red flags that I've always said.
I have a fixing, because we don't want to be without fuel.
That's why we pay you those big bucks.
I was going to ask the question first off, is this the only people that we can get this from? That might have been the reason why it was signed, because there's nobody else.
And that's why I did ask for a 3-year contract this time, because there are starting to be some input that there's going to be more distributors in the area instead of the 5-year contract, even though it does have where we can terminate within so many days. But I did ask for 3-year, and I waited
it was an effort to get a 3-year contract.
Well, jet fuel's going to be going up too. Mm-hmm. You can rest assured that mm-hmm. it's going up because the airlines are ripping and snorting about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're packing people in the airlines.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Is that something that needs to go out for bid? Have you had any issues with that group in the past, in the last 5 years?
No, we've had a wonderful relationship with them. No issues with deliveries, no issues with anything. We've had a very good working relationship with them.
Renewing something like that might be Ms. Conrad's answer, but is it something, being that we're starting a new contract, does it need to go out for bid?
Not necessarily, but of course you certainly could. Is there going to be, if in fact that you go out for bid, is there going to be a lapse?
Our problem right now is without a contract, with an expired contract, the last time we got fuel costs, we are actually paying a premium without a contract. If we had a contract in force, we would have paid $3.29 for the 100 low lead. Without a contract, we're paying $3.465 on the Jet A. We're paying $2.72. When our contract goes into effect, it's $2.41. So we're paying substantially.
Who owns the pumps out there?
We do.
We own them.
And we actually, while we're on the subject, we're getting a quote right now from the people that service it, the DBT, because we can't take chip cards right now, so that's causing us some problems because everything's going to chip card. That's going to be a cost of about $14,000, but I'm anticipating paying for it in this year's budget through the hangar revenue. So I haven't been real concerned about the cost.
Are there any other distributors that may be interested in bidding?
We have talked to Shell, and they do some deliveries in this area. They are substantially more in cost than our current contract is. Their base cost is $3.61, where we would be paying $3.29. They are $2.74, where we would be paying $2.41, and they do require a 5-year contract. We've had trouble in the past because we get such small amounts, and we also usually get a 4,000-gallon load, even though our tank's 8,000, tank of 8,000, because of the shelf life, and the Jet A has a very short shelf life.
It sounds like you've been satisfied with the service and everything that we've mm-hmm. had. So I know, Commissioner Page, you made a motion to table this until Mr. Bishop had time to work the contract. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it if we get everything straight with Conrad to approve.
I can go to all I have to do is go on our website to the old agenda from the last time and print the agenda documents and send the contract or my copy.
Well, let me ask this. Do we want to approve this contingent on you cleaning that contract up so that we don't have to wait till we come back to another meeting?
We can do that. The problem is, I've heard Melody's problems with it. It seemed vaguely familiar, very familiar to the last time. It was the same issues. Mm-hmm. Same issue.
I remember the last time, and I was preparing for you today, and I knew the day, but I know the last time there were issues with
and I raised we had concerns. And I raised those concerns. Now, it might have been that we decided, or y'all decided, or your predecessors decided that it needed to sign a contract right away because it was very important, and we were going to lose, blah, blah, blah. I think I remember that.
Remember we discussed we share loads with other GA airports in the area, and that saves us money. I remember discussing that with you, too.
Yeah. You don't still remember 5 minutes.
It kind of comes to
you. I think he and I both have very good memories.
It kind of comes together.
Okay, we've got a motion in a second, but do we want to change it?
I'm willing to withdraw my motion to table if it's the pleasure of the board.
I withdraw mine.
All right. Now I make a new motion that we approve the contract contingent upon Mr. Bishop getting the language suitable to this board. I don't know how to say it.
And I will second it, although that works out to play with Mr. Bishop on. I'm just like him. That's putting it in court in South Florida. Nothing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I thought you would be really proud of me for getting 3 assignments instead of 5.
You done good, for sure.
Okay, item 16. The board to consider approval of the invitation to bid and work write-up bid forms for the rehabilitation of one home through the State Housing Initiative Partnership, which is SHIP program, one home through the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG program, and the demolition construction of 6 homes through the SHIP or CDBG housing programs as agenda by the Grants Director. I think the first thing we need to do is declare if related to any of the recipients.
Not related.
Not related.
Not related.
Me neither.
And not related. Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
I move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion?
No, I will after the motion.
If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, 16A. The board to consider approval of change order in the amount of $4,600 for the contract rehabilitation work on the home of Raymond Beach, which is a rehabilitation through the Residential Construction Mitigation Program, RCMP, as agenda by the Grants Director. Again, we need to declare for related to the recipient.
Not related.
Not related.
Not related.
Not related.
Not related. Okay, is there a motion?
Motion to approve the change order.
Second.
We got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, can I
ask? Yes.
Melanie, I'm sure this has been asked more than once in a board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I've had steam hatchet town hall meetings, I need to ask, what is the follow-up, if any, for the requirement for people that build ship houses or have the other CDBG or whatever to ensure that they are following guidelines and rules and laws or codes or anything else?
Okay. I just asked for that question last week. There is nothing we can do. It's considered discrimination. The only thing that we are required to do is if we provide first-time homeowners down payment assistance, they do have to attend a class that we pay for that tries to educate them on maintenance and upkeep on a home. But there is absolutely nothing we can do. And when I talked to Commissioner Fiegel, I was telling her we've had 2 different cases where within a week of them getting a brand new home, they've been headline news in the paper for drug bust. And there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. I know at one meeting, Mr. Conrad told me there was nothing I could do. We had to do a home for a convicted pedophile, and we are not allowed to discriminate.
Even for convicted felons or...
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing we can do, which I find very, very frustrating with the housing programs.
It's frustrating, too, when you see these homes that have not been maintained at all.
And one other thing, are some of the contract or some of the grant programs, are they required to keep the property for 5 years?
Yes.
Which one?
On SHIP program, well, actually all of them. On the SHIP program, not required to keep them for 5 years. If you sell them within 5 years, on demolitions on SHIP, or not demolitions, on rehabs on SHIP, or within 20 years on demolition and new construction on SHIP, you're required to pay us a prorated amount back. if the person that owns it is deceased within that period of time, someone in their family has to qualify for the family to keep the home. CDBG, it's the same, 5 years on a rehab where you pay us back a prorated amount, which I've had two different people from Steinhatchee where they had to pay us a prorated amount because it upped the value on their home. They sold it for a profit and they had to pay us back. We've had that a couple times here recently. On CDBG, on demo and new construction, it's the same, 20 years. However, with CDBG, if that person is deceased, the family just gets it.
Any requirement for insurance, as far as fire insurance and those kind of things?
They are to provide us insurance.
And if it's in a flood zone, they're required to have flood insurance? Some of the programs?
Well, on CDBG, we don't do anything in a flood zone.
Okay, that's right. Mm-hmm. You don't.
Mm-hmm. On RCMP, they are required to pay us. They have a repayment agreement for 5 years on that because, you know, that's a good way to make a profit too. And on RCMP, if they become deceased, it's the same. Their family just gets the home.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Item 17, under general business, the board to discuss harvesting of palmetto berries on county properties as agenda by Commissioner Moody.
For the last couple of years, we've had the property down the Ben River Road that we got, and it's palmetto berries have been robbed off those 2 years in a row. And we talked about last year maybe getting a contractor to go down there and pick them, but they'd already been picked. Actually, they caught people stealing them and they turned, but Four Rivers caught the people in there while they were harvesting next to it, and they turned the berries over to Four Rivers and their department did, and they sold them and sent us a check. But I would love to see us put it out for bids for the palmetto berries. This year we've had enough rain, the palmetto berries are about the size of, some of them about the size of a baby right now. And the rest of them are bloomed out real good. This has been an unusual year. It's going to be a good crop of them.
They're harvesting what time of year?
In September and October.
September, October.
Yeah.
So we got time to do
that. We got time to get it out for bids, and I've had several contractors I've talked to, and they're ready to bid on them.
That sounds like a good idea. So if they, how would that work?
They'll bid it. I would say we need to bid it by the pound. I've heard stories about, you know, different ways to bid it, but I think we need to bid them by the pound. And I mean, have a good year. Probably if they harvest them and get before they get stolen, probably $20,000 worth of berries on that property down there.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea because, you know, I've had calls about that too. And, what do we need to do?
Well, you need to, I got a question about by the pound, if I could ask about that. In other words, they would bid, say, 20 cent a pound, just hypothetically, and who does the weighing of the pound?
No, the check.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you, another way, couldn't you just say, bid out
lump sum,
and then they, you know, if they make a bid that's too high, well, they lose money. If they make a bid that's low, they make money, Jim.
Well, the only thing is, what I've heard them say, and I've talked to two different contractors about it, they say, well, I could say I bid it out for a certain amount, and then the thieves hit it. No, it wouldn't take them but 2 nights or 2 days, and they'd pick them up at night, all the berries would be gone. And it shouldn't take over 2 days to harvest all of them on the property. And so they would hate to take the chance of saying they're going to give you so much of acre or so much for a whole lot and then not be no berries there.
But don't you think, though, that they would make sure that they have enough people there to get them all before the thieves had a chance?
Well, like I say, it would take 2 days to get all of them. So what the thieves do in the berry business is what I've seen. And they put a crew out on the side of the road before daylight, mm-hmm. and they come back after dark and pick them up. And if you got a 20-man crew picking, or a 50-man crew picking that, they'll get it all in one day, a 50-man crew will, and they'll be gone. I've actually had them stolen off of my property before. I'd find a hole in the fence. I'd think it was somebody hunting in there. And I'd put a game camera there and never get nobody on the game camera because they had done got the buried and gone. You know, and then I go look and they'd be gone. But, I mean, and there's no way they can enforce to go out there and watch the thing to the berry. The berry has to get to a certain stage, just like a pecan or a tomato or anything else. They have to get to a certain stage. And the thieves know that stage. They'll go by there and walk out there, sample them, they'll take the knife and cut into the berry. They're almost ready. We'll get them next week.
Like picking watermelons.
So you really got to trust the contractor.
Send them overseas for medical research they use them for?
Yes.
They
saw some
of them. Well, no. Places like Dixie County and Wacoma County, what are they doing? They probably have the same problem that we have.
They have all over Georgia. Last year in Steinhatchee, the sheriff's department chased them. Talking about thieves all over the woods down there. The game department chased them all over the woods. Wayne Patrick can tell you, where the average picker, and if they turn 50 out in a day, their average pay, this how much value it is in. They ask the pay, they tell me, I'm working for $20 an hour. That's what it boils down to. How many pounds they can pick in a day, they're working actually for $20 an hour.
Well, I'm going to need that for all the rattlesnakes
at that end of the
show.
Well,
you know, fire.
What they do is they take that 5 gallon bucket, shake them, bury them. That's what they say now. And that rattlesnake knows they coming. He'll go to moving and get out of their way. I ain't ever heard of one bit by a rattlesnake. And they quit about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just before the rattlesnake gets out between 1 and 2. They say, you know, I've seen them all the time of the day. They say they work around them. And they're not scared of them. I have one of them, you know, picking legally. And he said, I've never had a rattlesnake. You've never seen a rattler. Okay.
Counties, do they contract out somebody to do it? Do we know anybody else that's done it?
That's got contract?
Yeah.
Yeah, Four Rivers has a big crew that picks for them.
I mean, any other counties that we know of?
There's all kinds from here to Miami, they pick them. Down there, they make 3 crops a year. Up here, they only make 1 crop.
I'm just wondering if any other counties have put out for bids and had people to go there.
No, I don't know about that.
No. I think it looks like FWC does that in Camp Landing, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair, excuse me. How many acres are we talking about county property?
It's over, well,
where are we talking about?
Just like Hampton Springs part, that 40 something acres right there, and then we got 130 down the road.
Yeah.
I mean, and our palmettos don't ever get of it. And I went and looked, they're blooming out, they're in the flower stage and starting berries right now.
And do you know how Four Rivers, they bid or what? I mean,
what,
do they do
what
a lot
they
of
do is the contractor tells them, so, he'll give them so much a pound. The market starts off real cheap. It starts off maybe 50 cents a pound, and by the end of the season, it's $2.50 a pound.
But how do they know how many pounds they just trust?
The contractor will walk the property and get an idea of like the blooms right now, and they'll have an idea of how many tons is going to be there, how many pounds. Now, I mean, you have to kind of trust them because if you had a person with them every day, whatever picking, you wouldn't know how many pounds they got.
Well,
and it'd be more and more getting down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
better
help
you
got that.
Mr. Bishop.
Yeah, the internet's a wonderful
thing. The thing you're using.
Right. I didn't find it. Assistant County Administrator found it. But there is a saw palmetto berry sale. The bid date and time is August the 10th, it's 17th at 4 p.m. And it's the location is Camp Landing Joint Training Center in Star. And it says harvesting and removal of saw palmetto berries is anticipated that a contract will be awarded and a term of the contract will begin on or about August 17, 2017 and end on or about October 31st, 2017. So there are people that are doing the contract. I would suggest that our Did you get a copy of their contract, if you can? We'll get a copy of their contract, see what they did, and go to school on it.
And that's all fenced, you know, that's fenced, that's a secure area. Yeah. I
understand. Well, you know, and I appreciate Jim talking about the thieves, I really do, but if you are the business person that bid the contract and also say for us either for a poundage, I think I'd rather trust the contractor than I would the thieves, you know, as a practical matter. But that contractor is going to have to get those berries harvested and have them guarded.
That would be, thieves get that.
Yeah, that'd be his or her responsibility, not ours.
We're only going to pay him.
Is that in agreement with you?
That's fine. What one of the contractors told me he does when he contracts the area, he goes down side the highway and goes ahead and picks the murder. And then when the thieves come along and check the area, they walk out and say, well, they didn't pick these, and they walk a little bit, they walk from here to that wall and they look at all the berries and they're gone.
They're too lazy to go up in there, right?
Well, they're looking over the shoulder all the time anyway.
Well, Four Rivers has a man, it's his job to watch the contract.
I think the key. I think the key is that, you know, we have to have some trust with the contractor. If he bids, he has so many pounds. And then if the thieves get it before he does, we don't owe him anything, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't.
I mean, I believe that's one way you're going to get a bid out of one of them, because he can't just say, well, I think I'm going to pick a ton of berries out there and
no, it'd be
responsible for that much money. I believe, listening to all of the people in the market talk, every place I've talked to people with low berries, once a contractor gets a contract on the area, the people that's working for them know the ones that's working it down the road. You know, so they leave those areas alone because, you know.
Well, Commissioner Moody, you've been involved with this a lot, and it sounds like you've done a lot of research and work on it, and I'm willing to take your recommendation because you've already done the work for us, so well, I'd say we do what you suggest.
Let's, like Mr. Conrad said, let's get some information from those contracts, and then we can put it out there, and then what it is, the contractor, legal contractor, he has to have workman's comp. He has to pay insurance, and all that has to be on the contract, and so he can't pay quite as much as just getting say I get a crew go down there and go to picking berries. He has to do it, and that's what we need. They need to have insurance.
Well, we need to protect it too, in case somebody does get bit
by a snake. That's right. Or fall in a hole or whatever. But I'm all for we just need to get the ball rolling on getting the contract out. Getting
a
bid out anyway.
Let's do it. We'll see if we can find a contract.
That'll work.
Right.
I just hate to see losing 3 years in a row. We've lost them 2 years that I've been.
That's right. Whatever bid, if it's 20,000 or 10,000, it's more without name.
That's right.
Okay, 18. The board to discuss obtaining a county credit card as agended by Commissioner Page.
Let me speak first, Madam Chair. I came up to visit LaLonda last week, and she was in a panic because she needed her personal card, and I didn't get it. I waited for her. So I get the credit. This organization, I said this company, this county government needs at least one credit card. Because when you go off the state somewhere, I don't think it's Ted or one to use their personal card to do county business with. Now, I know from having served on other boards that companies have credit cards, you know, they may have multiple credit cards, and have a limit on them. You know, you've got employees that go, maybe out of light work, they may have a credit card with a limit of $100. If you need more of that, you can just enter in the keyboard the right person and up the credit limit. But we do need at least one, I think. And no employee ought to be compelled to put up their personal property and their personal loan of credit to get the credit card in the name of the Taylor County Board of Commissioners.
I agree.
And so I'll let staff speak to whether or not you agree with this.
I agree 100%, because we're getting...
Would it be helpful for you, Wanda?
But, sir?
Yes, I actually wanted it to be helpful for
her. Well, I can recall, since I've been on this board, this subject came up, I believe, when Jack Brown was here, because Jack was using his personal credit card. And I believe it was during that his tenure that we approved a credit card for use. And then, I think, LaWanda, you were here then, right? Or had you already
left? I don't think I was here, but I know but that was...
Something along the line happened to that credit card because we had one.
I can answer that.
Let me answer that.
Okay, go ahead.
When that credit card was secured, Tammy Taylor had to give up, put up all of her personal stuff with that credit card. When she retired, she canceled that credit card. So whoever wants to put up one takes to get the credit card signed. But she had to do that. That's the only way she could find it.
Actually, there were two, excuse me, Madam Clerk. There were two credit cards. Dustin had the other one. And it was, whenever Dustin left, it was canceled because they wanted me to put up mine, my personal information for the...
Well, that's probably one he got, but Tammy got hers.
Tammy had one also.
Yeah. No employee or no board member ought to have to put up his personal credit. Now, I served on the Tri-County Board, as you all know, for 24 years. We had multiple credit cards, company credit cards, with American Express. And... you know, you didn't have nobody, no board member or no employee had to put up his personal assets. The company did.
Yes.
I can't believe that Ted can't go to a local bank or to American Express, put full faith and credit to the Taylor County Board, here's our balance sheet, this is how much we're worth. You can't get a little old credit card.
So, I agree.
My experience in Jackson County is the clerk before had five credit cards. We were able to go to her office, check them out, use them, return them. Of course, when you did use them, you returned them with receipts.
Yes.
We did not have credit cards in working administration. They were with the clerk before. I don't know if that's how they did it. I never asked. We just had access to them.
Well, I'm not putting up my personal stuff for it.
I don't remember anybody in Jackson County ever put up.
See, you talk about local. We do business now with Citizens Bank because the Wachovia Bank fees got so high, so we transferred. I don't know where Citizens Bank offers credit cards or not, but I employees federal credit funds you, and that's what we don't do business with.
They do.
No.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Citizens State Bank has got cards.
See, I don't think that, just by what you said, I don't think it's fair for employees to have to do that, no more than for
you
have to do that.
I mean, has to find one that would do.
But, I mean, surely we can find one.
Madam Clerk, put me on the spot. Do you want to handle the credit card if you get one, or do you want our administrator to handle it?
Well, if we have them and they have to check them out from us, and we and they come back, if they don't come back with the right amount of receipts, they lose one or whatever, then somebody's going to have to pay. And you cannot charge sales tax because you've got to have your exemption form. And if you charge sales tax, you don't have to pay it. There's a lot of issues there with that.
Would you want it or not?
Well, I don't mind it being over there.
What do you think? You have a credit card.
My preference would be for the clerk of the court to keep the card.
We have a safe over there. We keep them.
Yeah, my preference would be for a court to keep the card, and me and LaWanda simply go there and check them out and return them with, you know, appropriate receipts.
I like that idea.
And maybe just me and her the only ones that can take the card out. I mean, I'm on one of our super controls, but it's easy to wear.
Would you assist in trying to find a credit card company that doesn't have to, an employee or a board member doesn't have to?
We can work with Daniel or however how you want to work it, you know, but it's getting to the point where we almost have to have it now dealing with Bar Association of Counties Trust, FCCMA, some of these organizations. You know, you have to, one of you have to book the conference where you can even book a hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And we just discussed last board meeting paid the extra fee, $45, because we didn't have a credit card. All right, I move that we empower our administrative team to find a credit card for the county. Since no employee or board member has to put up his personal assets if one's available. And that these credit cards or cards be left in charge of the clerk of court. And the only two people on the county side of it that are authorized to get the credit cards would be Mr. Leckie or LaWanda or someone that they designate.
Why don't instead of putting their names, could you, what do you think if you put by the administrator or in the assistant administrator? So
yeah, that's right. Then it wouldn't apply just to these two now.
Whoever.
Then the next.
All right, that's my motion.
I second.
Okay. How many cards do you want me to secure?
How many do we need? Two?
Can you still, excuse me, madam clerk, do you still have one? Does Daniel not have one yet?
Do you want one?
Okay. No, I don't want
it. The good thing about it too, from I think one reason why Tammy helped us with it was during a disaster.
Right.
You know, you need to be able to purchase things, and you can't get a PO, and you can't. So, a credit card helps with when Tammy had it as well.
Two's enough.
Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Page, and the second was by Commissioner Dempse. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I will tell micro appliance repair parts in Tallahassee do not have a cash. The only thing they take is credit card.
Right.
I bought a car for a drive today, and the only thing they take is credit. So I asked him what. He said, we just don't go to the bank anymore.
Hey, it's almost a cashless society.
I don't trust our employees to hold it.
Yeah, I promise.
Okay.
I want to tell you that I take cash.
County Administrator Items. Number 19, the county administrator to discuss informational items.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Item number 20, comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. If you're here and you wish to speak, come forward, state your name and your address.
Stan Ridgeway, 901 Riverside, Steve Hatchie. A few meetings back, I brought up a comment that the community center is team hatching, that the local people on the projects board and AARP raised $50,000. And they did, and Madam Clerk pointed out she felt somebody else raised money too. I checked into it and talked to the people that were there keeping track of the money at that time, and the agreement with the county was a 50-50. They raised $50,000 in steam hatching, and the county matched it with $50,000. When the building was being built, the local people, AARP and the projects board again, decided they should put a porch around it. And that porch was budgeted at $10,000, which was raised local. I'm glad that I talked about it and Madam Clerk brought this up, because all of my comments or listening in steam hatching prior to this was just the $50,000 that was raised local. So from the very first, it was a partnership with the county, a 50-50. And I'm glad to know that and put it in the record.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have one question. In addition, there is a cell tower that was just put in on 9th Street across from Maddie's Groceries. it is on county property. I got the indication tonight that the county is not getting any rent or any lease off that cell tower. When a similar thing was put in Hodges Park, the county's getting revenue from it. I would request that it be looked into, and if you get the opportunity again for somebody that's going to make money to locate a thing on county property, that you look into some sort of lease or rent with the county. Would
how long has that cell tower been there?
Less than a month.
I can call us and around the purpose of cell tower on the property down there.
How did that happen?
It's not really a cell tower. They came in under a utility easement agreement. It's not really a cell tower, some kind of repeater for someday when they do next gen power generation or something. So it's not really a true cell tower.
Is it similar to the one that's on the pole at Hodges Park?
No, Hodges Park is a sensor. Hodges Park is receive signal and only transmits when.
Did you give approval for these people to put that in?
Danny did. Through the
Danny
or Kenneth did through the right of way use program.
When it was being installed, the contractor and the owner was asked what was going in, and the folks in Steenhatchee said that it was going in as a cell tower and service would be sold to Sprint. So, I can only say what I heard.
I think it should be revisited. And see exactly what it is. If it's a cell tower, then we need to reconsider what's going on.
I like a monopole, then, Steve.
A monopole?
It's going to provide income to a private business.
Well, we need to get a revenue out of that.
That's exactly right. Yes, thank you. Well, there's agreements that I've seen. They get that $900 a month.
Yeah,
the cell tower. But I don't think that something like this, I think, should come before the board for at least let us be aware of it. And if it's something that we need to approve, then it needs to come here.
Let me, excuse me, I agree.
Do you agree?
Yes, ma'am. Let me correct something. It's been there 2 months or more.
Oh, that long?
Yes, because I got a call on it right after I got appointed, so and it was already there then. So it's before Steve.
Wouldn't it work utility pole?
It's a huge single pole monopole with a microfiche dish on the top, right next to where the bank used to be, like between there and Maddie's. And
if you look at it now,
there's
some more dishes on it.
I don't doubt that, but it's right next to the road. It's obviously down the road.
Is this where it's been all along? It was not moved from another location?
I do not know that. I know.
I mean, in Steenhatchee, was it somewhere else in Steenhatchee?
No, they brought in trucks with the pole and two sections on it, and they brought in a 100-ton crane.
It's new technology.
It's
new technology.
Yeah, because I had heard some complaints from someone about the location of it being so close to their property, but
that's the same complaint I got. That's how I knew when it was. That's the same complaint I got.
Yeah.
It was there.
But I didn't have any idea that it was. I thought it was on their property, not the county property. The way the complaint came to me.
Yeah, it's kind of private.
Well, thank you for letting us know.
Thank you for letting me ask.
Learn about county business off the street, though. Should have said that. Don't put that in.
Okay. Anyone else wishes to speak? Yes, sir. You waited a long time, didn't you?
Yeah. 3 minutes. My name's Howard Woods. I live at 2379 Marina Road. I'm a full-time resident at Keaton Beach. I appreciate all the work y'all in the past to work with us down there. We got a continuing issue. My son and myself, we run Woody's Fishery, been in business for 10 years now. Our old channel continues to deteriorate. We were very evident about Sunday, two or three weeks ago. We ran aground out there and had to wait for the tide for two or three hours to get one to come back in. The only reason I'm approaching, the canal seems to be functional fine. But the immediate problem we have is in the channel itself. There's a sandbar between number one and number two marker that continues to build. And then there's a sandbar continuing to build right there at the dog leg, right by the gazebo. We are experiencing more and more problems that continue to build. Like I say, we run a commercial fishing, crabbing business. There's three or four other large boats running from there on the crabbing side. There's also six or eight shrimp boats. And just ask that we don't drop the ball out there and continue trying to get something resolved out there. One thing that sure enough concerns me is we all aware boats are getting bigger, they're getting faster.
Mm-hmm.
The commercial side, we run slow boats. As the public, as everybody knows, it's getting more and more popular down there. More and more boats are using it. A big boat, powered by several engines, run quite fast. My concern is sooner or later, the sandbar, if the deep water channels, it'll stop a boat on contact. And then the occupants, they don't wear seat belts or anything in the boat, they're going to wind up in the water. So, from a safety standpoint, sooner or later we're going to have a catastrophe out there, I'm afraid. So, I just ask y'all to don't lose track of, we need some help down there. But I do appreciate y'all for doing what y'all have been doing
now. Now, when we dredge, we're going to dredge the canal. Beyond that, between the markers, now that's not our...
That's the Corps of Engineers.
So.
And we've been hammering them, trying to get funding so that it would do that. I think part of what, you know, Howie and I have spoken recently, and one thing that we may consider is including, even though the Corps is not going to pay us back, consider including in our canal dredging part of those three spots in the channel, even though it's, you know, who knows when the Corps of Engineers is going to come along and do it, but it's continuously becoming a more and more of an issue out there, and so you know, I was going to thank you for bringing it back up.
It doesn't make any sense to me to dredge the canal and get it. And,
if you didn't check,
and then you've got this problem out there that you're describing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you brought this forward, because I think that needs to somehow or another be included. We need to take care of that.
The canal itself, we go and come good.
Mm-hmm.
But where we got the problem is we're supposed to be deep water. You know, and our boat only drives 30 inches, and some are much, much more than that. But it is a problem out there. So continuing to get worse.
I want to agree with Commissioner Spadley that if we ever get this money to dredge the main canal, and we're starting with Keaton, if we get some money, go ahead and add that those two spots or three on the sandbar. It makes common sense.
Mm-hmm. While they got their set up there, they need to do it.
It might be 10 years before they get down there.
But I guess that's my concern, you know. I've been down there for 10 years now, and we continue to hear we're going to be dredged, you know, and I just don't see nothing happening down there.
But the Corps has done their survey. We know exactly how much fall, of course, probably more now, but how much fall in the channel is. So that is easily enough for Kenneth, he's got all those figures, to be able to identify how much that would cost, you know, as we go out for bid and so forth, to try to include that, because that was all surveyed last year by Corps of Engineers.
Just a thought, a short-term solution, if we could raise a couple larger, just spot big several areas in the channel, the access to the boat ramp and all continues to go. but the problem is not from the boat ramp
right now,
even though it does need some help. The problem that we're experiencing right now is in the deep water channel itself.
Does anybody you know of at Steenatchee or Horseshoe or whatever that have a small dredge? You know, they can maybe take care of that?
I'm not aware of any. I'm sure they are, but
actually, Charles Norwood, I think, has one that he's doing some work with, which, and there are a few around, maybe closer over past sea as well. So.
Well, it sounds like we need to do that first.
That would solve problems for a lot of folks if we could get some address on the deep water channel.
And we would have to do it, I mean, because there's a long permitting process, you know, to get it done, so.
How long?
Well, the Corps of Engineers took us 4 months to.
That was fast for them.
To give us a permit, saying we didn't need a permit.
I know there's been some legwork. Some of my friends, Jason and Joe Cox, that run the Stonecraft Festival down there, they actually took some of the individuals out there to serve the time back.
That was during that whole same process after Hurricane Hermine.
But my want is just, you know, somehow we keep it moving and we don't lose track of it.
Yeah. All right.
Why are you right here? Answer a question for me and come out under the buoys that they've got set up there to go around the barge and all.
It's a problem, and y'all gonna get a lot of complaints here the next 2 weeks when scallop season starts. Where the barge is located, reworking the pier, there is just access barely for one boat. Where the rock marker is, if you go on the other side of it, you're gonna tear your boat up. Mm-hmm. We know that, but so many people don't.
You know that rock there, but now what a fellow recommended to me the other day was the county putting an arrow on those floats to keep them going toward next to the barge, where they wouldn't tear their boat up on the rock. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that wouldn't be no big issue for us to put arrows on the float there. You think that would help?
Anything would probably help, but we've got so many people. I mean, we get taken over by the scallop season, and so many people don't even know what a red marker and a green marker means. And then we, you know, try and work on the pier in the most travel time. But anything would help. But if you get outside where that marker is, if you go on the inside, it's going to tear you by the.
One thing.
A good idea to put a marker up some sort.
Well, one fellow said if you just put air there, 90% of the people would go to that side.
It would be great if we could talk with the contractors and see if they can move it, you know, on the weekend. Because, you know, right now we can't even park a truck down there during scallop season, you know. But if for some reason they could move their barge in and out, you know, to free it up for the weekend, it would.
When a barge is out, they've driven down two large poles. Is that temporary, just to hold the barge?
Yeah, to hold the barge.
We like that anyway.
Yes, sir. So we went in, we tried to go out the other night, and we went down there and talked to Steve, and he helped us. But with our vessel, we can just barely go by. It would be nice to relook at the whole setup.
Madam Chair. That was going to be a question on how you're coming and going in there, because Shrimpert called me as well, and Howie then did. LaWanda got up with Kenneth, and Kenneth went down and met with the contractor. He's supposed to be moving that thing in on the weekend. And I think he's probably under the impression that where it is and where he's set up is sufficient enough. But I think there's room for him to move in more during the weekend. And perhaps if we could double check that. Plus, he also offered to put up poles over there where the rocks are.
Good.
And so, and he didn't do that, so we need to ask him to go ahead and do that.
Yes. If he do that, then we can put that arrow.
Put the arrows on the poles, keep everybody going in the gap. It'll keep that hole washed out right there, too.
You know, the good thing about it is, it is supposed to be idle speed there, and yes, they're going to have to be some give and take, but if he can move it up just a little bit, maybe where a large vessel can get through and a smaller vessel, or two boats, on the weekend especially.
The weekend's going to get
tough. But it's something that, you know, we struggled with doing it during the height of the season, and you all know how long it took us to get the approval, and then we were under contracts. And, we'd have to pay penalties or pay more now if we were to postpone it.
Because, yeah, well, they just need, you know, if they can work with us like that, that would help. Are there any scallops?
Yes, ma'am.
Are they way out, or
well, my uncle's been Holloway.
Towards off the dark in my mind.
Over that way. I
want to thank you for coming forward with this, and this is why we like for citizens to come and help us, because we don't know everything, and so it's good to have citizens to help us out. Help us anytime. We can use all the help we can get.
I appreciate it, and thank you all again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We're going to grade this as soon as we can.
We got the bars already down there.
No, no.
Anyone else? Okay. If not, we're going to move on to item 21, board discussion. Commissioner Spradley.
Well, mark off fear. I've sat and listened to the board several times talking about the trash issues and whenever we were going through the permitting process, and you had, Madam Chair, talked about the possibility of allowing subcontractors, so to speak, to pick up trash and
yeah.
And be able to deposit it and pay a separate fee and so forth. It's, where are we with that? What do we need to do to keep that
well,
going?
Well, I sent word last week, as a matter of fact, to the person that had brought this up to me several times, and that's why I brought it forward to try to make the process a little easier for people that want to do that. I still have not heard back from him, so I don't really know what's going on, but certainly we would like to see more people interested.
And we had also talked about, or the board had talked about, and sometimes things, I get things mixed up because when I was a director, I talked to Gary freely, you know, and Gary had said he was perhaps coming up with a plan maybe where contractors could pay a fee, you know, wouldn't have to go all the way to Greenville and those kind of things. I'd like to see that discussion keep and keep going. And I have problems with sometimes roll-off attendants aren't considering that a person, even though they're in commercial business, they also have a home and they should have a car for their some of their yard trash or debris and stuff like that. So, but that's a different issue. But I would like to see us maybe in a workshop or whatever continue talking about the even the city people paying a fee. I think maybe they've resolved that issue here, but I know all those were brought to light before, and I don't know that we ever resolved any of them. So
yeah. When you talk just then about contractors, what do you mean?
Well, I know that there were talk about people. We have an individual from Steen Hatchie that is coming all over the beach, and he is he's a self-employed trimming cabbage trees, you know.
Okay, so the same type of person. I'm yes. talking about. You're not talking about Waste Pro or Waste
no,
Management.
No.
Okay.
No, none of that. Just self-employed individuals that.
Yeah, well,
by the letter of the law, they're not supposed to be able to dump their wares there, right?
Right. So, really, in fact, we, by giving individual cars, we basically shut out contractors from using the roll-off site.
The one thing I would like to add, I was glad to hear at the town hall meeting the other night that we are coming up with a program for these weekenders, you know, that are spend the weekend in a motel at Steen Hatchie or wherever, but they'll be able to unload their trash, you know, short-term use for, you know, people that come in, rent a motel room, go scalloping, have their trash, or a house, you know, we would expect that the house renter would give them a card, but some of these motels and condos and stuff like that, so they're coming up with a plan.
We would have a one-time use card.
One-time use card for a weekend, you know. Mm-hmm. As people are leaving town, they can take the trash off rather than throwing it in the woods.
Them motels are supposed to have a dumpster for their clients to put their trash in.
Yeah.
And I mean...
Well, there are, you know, right. But there are a lot of...
scallop guts you're talking about, 5 gallon bucket full of scallop guts and stuff.
Yeah, and all that stuff. It's
they dump them in that dumpster. The reason they don't want to let them do it is because they dump them in that dumpster in the heat of the summer.
Smells.
Won't be able to
there you go. It. That's the rest yeah. of the story.
You know what?
Yes,
what
I do.
You'll see them in the ditch all up and down the St. Hanchy Road, but right. They just drive out of town and throw it in the ditch. You'll see it if you look. It'll be a mess. Yeah. Every turn around off the St. Hanchy Road, the closer you get to town, the more salt fields will be in the ditch. You know.
But if we need...
I mean, them motels, I know...
But there's so many more than motels. I mean, there's half of the beach in St. Hanchy is rented as a rental property during mm-hmm. the summer. You know.
So. I mean, they should address that issue themselves because they're the ones, you know, collecting the rent from all the people.
Well, what about all the RVs that come down there? You know, the RVs and rent lots and all. That's not a you know, they're not paying taxes for the card per se. So there's a lot of different
RVs. Didn't they a solid waste? One third as much. As
not if they're like Mr. Clark and he rents them for him to come down there on the weekend.
I pay mine. I give them a card, and if they leave, I get back. I paid for it.
Okay.
And my rental houses always had the car stuck up on the bulletin board,
right.
And they could go to the dump with it.
Right.
But I was paying $140 a house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ms. Ridgeway, okay, you're right to some extent. There are probably 500 rental units in Steam Hatchy that are not a motel. They are a house, like you were saying. Now, some of these people do have the little cards and they stick them up there, but a lot of people don't. So these people go to the dump and they need to be able to dump their stuff. It is a problem, you're right. And something does need to be done, because I know he was talking about it the other day too. There's four or five people down there who have, I know one couple has over 100 houses. They're not theirs. They belong to everybody. And people sign up with them and they rent them out for them. They clean them and then, you know, see, these aren't the owners here. These are people who are actually renting the houses for the owners. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea how they work with trash. But somebody might want to check into that and see if they can, you know, make it to where they also have the little cards that they can give them so they can get them.
We're working with
yeah,
all of them.
They're working.
And all they have to do is let us know how many rentals they anticipate, and we will get them the one-time use cards or whatever we need to do to
help
them up, yeah, to accommodate. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
No,
Commissioner Dance?
I see you got the hot rolls open. Look like it's on go.
Celebrate.
I had people calling me about how it
yeah.
goes last weekend.
Yes. There is something. I went to a meeting in Lake City last Thursday, Friday. And I was talking to the EPA person. We got a place over in my neighborhood. The houses is owner dump. Nobody seemed to know who owns what. I know the person sold it to him, don't own it. He won't claim it. But this EPA person I was talking to the other day, up there in Perry, Georgia, they had a chemical plant and they had these people living out here on this, they moved in on that soil. And they sued those people and the government really bought those folks out and moved them off. Well, we in Post St. Joe. They've done some of the same thing. when I see people go out, 10 people living back in the neighborhood and they can't get out unless they got four-wheel drive, something needs to be done. Now, I know we can say the city belongs, the city didn't do it, or the county didn't do it. Now, I don't want it to come to the fact that they say we'll go to EPA or hire a lawyer or something like that and try to get this done, and you in the city limits or you within a neighborhood. And it's been there for 40 years. My brother went over the other day and he got stuck and had to go around there and get him. And the reason they get him because he's disabled now. But I would sure like to see us get to look at that. And then we have to go in partnership with the city or county and try to do something about that and alleviate that for those folks.
Is this Polkville subdivision? Which one?
No.
Where? What roads? What area?
It's in the city limits, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the city limits, yeah.
Well, there's another one the same way, right down here, off Old Dixie, Oak Quinn Road.
Yes.
The other day, that was a wheel drive to get to them houses. And if an ambulance would have had to go to them houses, they would have had to haul people down into the mud hole because the ambulance couldn't make it across the hole. And I've had people complain about that Oakland Road and complain about it, but it's in the city limits.
Yes.
And me and Mr. Ted went down today and looked at it. And there's some way the city needs to step up to the plate and help us with that. I mean, we got 5 or 6 different houses right there on Oakland Road. And after that storm the other day, if an ambulance was needed to go there, or a fire truck might have made it through the hole if he'd have been stepping on it. But ambulance, I don't believe, could have made it through the hole in the same kind of way you're talking about that road.
Some kind of way.
We need the city is going to have to do something. I mean, they're going to have to step up to the plate and take care of them roads.
Yeah.
Wayne Page took his motor grader down there and graded Oak Quinn Road several times.
And he gets some sand out there on that particular road, too.
Right. And that's out of the goodness of his heart and out of his billfold, he did that. And I mean, that's a blessing to have somebody that's that interested in the community. But we need to come kind of work some way to get the word across to the city it's time for them to step up to the plate.
Well, I have some. I had some calls this in the past week about Oakland Road, and I suggested that they get their whole neighborhood and go to the city council meeting, get on the agenda, and talk to them, and keep going back and talking to them to let them know they mean business, take pictures with them of the conditions and everything, and put pressure on them. That's what people do to us.
I mean, if somebody had a heart attack down in Amherst and got through the other night, that would have put pressure on them, but we don't need to wait till that kind of pressure has to come. We need to go ahead and they need to do something with those two roads. And I mean, that's just straightforward, but that's it.
Anything else, Commissioner Dibbs? Yes. Commissioner Page?
I have 2 or 3 things I want to mention. The one that you remember that after Commissioner Spradley, his first meeting, that we gave him all of the assignments that Commissioner Russell had been doing and never made it since you passed out. Every committee's assignment, and who's responsible. You've got people responsible for certain things. They're no longer employed by the county. That thing needs some major revision. You know what I'm talking about? This form? Mr. Page and a column, here's what he's responsible for. Here it is, and the contact person over here is Chris Holly. He no longer works for the Florida Association of Counties. Marcella Breiter, she doesn't work for us anymore. And for the landfill, you got Frank DeRobby, he's not in contact. John McHugh. But that just came to my attention that we need to update that. Swanberry Economic Council is not Francis Terry anymore. So, I mean, that's a small thing, but I just thought I'd bring it to your attention.
Okay.
And, Lawanda, I sent you an email on the report.
requesting the code enforcement person to take a look at a house on Slaughter Road. Mm-hmm. And I went by there on the way to the meeting tonight. And the old mattresses are on the front porch. Fellas saw that problem. We just plywooded the whole front porch so you can't see the mattresses. And was in the yard doing some cleanup. So I guess our code enforcement person knows to talk to us. I appreciate that. I did also notice all of the trash over there by your property on Paul Palmer Road is gone.
Did you find out who did it or what did you
know? I don't know. The sheriff's office took care of it.
The bags were breaking open and there was cups and towels and all kind of looked like household garbage.
TV said, I tried to watch it.
All right, but anyway, we got the trash and you're going to fix the committee assignments on that sheet. And we talked about the junk house. Now, Hector here, LaWanda gave you the whole list of this fellow's needs out here on Page Road, West Page Road, and East Page Road. That's in the works, honestly.
We got on the list, yeah.
Man, he had a file of requests, but do what you can. I talked to him later. And he said, really, my main concern is the intersection of North Page Road and Wells Drive. And there's some, I've driven by there several times, there's some red tip. That somebody's planted about 6 feet from the road, and two of them on the end of the road of red tips are dead. I don't know if they're going to let you check out a couple more of them, but they need to come out of there.
I wouldn't bother to look at them.
I'm better to look at them.
Try to make contact with him
and
see what
it's coming from. Yeah, all right. And other than that, South Strickland Road, we haven't got time to do that one yet, I know. But that, I rode down that to check, and we do need to do some limb trimming. And right at the end of the pavement, it's pretty rough in the turnoff building, gentleman's place there. But, so why do you handle everything well while Tim was gone? You didn't have a stroke. I know you're going to tell us about the docks bids, but I understand it's quite successful.
Yes, sir.
And my brother-in-law didn't win a bid, but a friend of his got four docks. So he's selling one. So he got 21 docks. Thanks to the public for coming, and thank the press, thank our clerk, thank the board, and our attorney. You still waiting on him, Conrad?
Barely.
All right, I'll be quiet. So you can take a nap after a while. Well,
I just want to eat something. That's all. Oh,
I'm on a diet. That's the list.
Commissioner Fasha, answer your question about the docs. The total from the high bids was around $43,000. I don't think we'll collect all of that because we're in the process of going down to the second, third bidder on the list. But I think at the last, I talked to finance, they had deposited about $27,000 so far.
I think successful. And that.
I don't want to do it again next week. You
have to be in the wine, I ain't in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Lisa upstairs, this group there. I came here on Main Street, 900 bids spread out. Yeah. It was amazing.
And you all had to open it one at a time.
Yes, sir.
All 900.
And then there was a gentleman here to request they be red. Everyone of them.
Oh, no.
Wine red every bit. 900 in total.
Next time we do that, we'll figure out a better system. I still say it's the right way to do this because it gave everybody in the community a fair chance to bid on one. Mm-hmm. It had option when you stick your finger up. I don't really you would collect as much money because the auction would have been in a day and time certain. Mm-hmm. You had very much attention.
I think it worked out really well. They did a really good job.
I like to work the staff to death, especially when we discovered that some of the docks were numbered. One end of the dock would say 41, the other end of the same dock would say number 42.
But we worked that out.
No wonder
we
worked that out.
I was looking right at you. He calls me on the phone panicking. What am I going to do?
So perfect.
All right, that's all I have.
I hollered at you, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
I had a constituent call me about the cabbage tree that got cut at Walnut at Hampton Springs. Right there in the parking lot, somebody cut one of the swamp cabbage. Right there where the sidewalk turned out, they cut the second one on the right.
Yes.
And Benny shared the bathroom too, I think.
I
had that
bathroom for the cabbage.
Steve goes with his country cabbage that needs to be relocated. That's the place he put one of them.
And they could have went right down the road and cut it, but they was blue in the face, you know.
Yeah.
But they just stopped there and cut
that's
down.
Terrible.
Did that come up around that?
No, we really need to go ahead. There's supposed to be a meeting this week at the Hampton Springs group, isn't there, Ted?
I'm not sure.
I think it's on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is it tomorrow night? Or
tomorrow night, I think, Miller.
If they mention anything about getting somebody to live down there and all their...
Now they're working towards
good. That's what we need. And, you know, whatever it takes to get the place under control. And that'd be great. The next thing, last meeting I brought up, trying to get how to get new roads on the paving list. I talked about the David Walker Road and I talked about the Fox Hill Road. And since then, I've had several people in Waldo Circle come to me. There are over 20 families there, and they've been living there for 20 to 30 years. And they've been talking getting that paved all these years, and nothing's ever been, Waldo Circle never been put on the paving list. Some of them in the neighborhood wouldn't even let the grader go there. They are. Hank can tell you, some of them's real funky about it, but Hank and them are going to, there was a corner there that had a bunch of palm trees on it. They were going to trim those up for us because it was a dangerous curve where people were having issues or running into each other. But I want to work trying to get that on the paving list, see Waldo Circle.
I think
there's issues there because that was John Wells and the road company that developed
that
building. Right.
They didn't do the guidelines and stuff, and it's been brought up several times
before. Right. But I've heard that too, but the guidelines, there's maybe not enough roadway. And that brings up something else I was going to discuss. There's maybe not enough
right
60
away.
Foot to pave it. But there's no reason there should be a variance to shorten up that, maybe some kind of way to get that road done. Because there have been some roads in all the areas that's real narrow that's been paved. But that brings up another thing. I had a gentleman come to me this week, and he's wanting to build a subdivision. But when he wants to buy a piece of property and build a nice subdivision, kind of like Parker subdivision. And he brought up to me, he said, Jim, I would have to have 60 foot right away through my property, the way the plan is now. And he said, is there some way we could change that 60 foot where I could be able to afford it? He said, it's just, you can run the numbers, you just can't split up a piece of property we ever rode in at 60 foot right away. And he said, there should be some way for me to be able to subdivide that property and people build homes and get on the tax roll without having the way it's set up now, what they have to qualify to have a road.
Could he pave the roads?
Yeah.
Was he paving the roads?
Yeah. He paved the roads, but I mean, you go cutting 60 foot all through everybody you want to put in that piece of property. It just won't work. I'm not talking about 60 foot of pavement, I'm talking about right away.
That's standard.
You know, and he said he would love for the county to work some kind of plan to be able to have a variance on that where he could afford to build a subdivision. And I told him I would discuss that with y'all in conversation. We could work in that direction. See what we need to get. I'll get with the engineer and just see where we're at with that type of road right now. And then we'll go from there and bring it up in the future. You know. And I appreciate everybody coming. Especially you've seen Hanky. Have you got the bats went off down there yet?
They're taking care of it right now.
Good. Good. That's all I got.
Madam Clerk, Mr. Bishop, administration. Okay, it's my time again. Ms. Ann Sturman has called me last week and called me again today about Lonnie Wilson, she said it's like a washboard. And I appreciate what y'all do in my district. You've been really good to fix things. I tell her that, then, you know, sometimes people grow a little impatient. They call me, so I just turn in what they say to me. In terms of road paving, I have a lot of roads too that need to be paved. And so if we're going to start a road list, let's all of us turn in all the roads that we want paved. But I'd like to see some sort of system where, I don't know how you do it, but how someone objectively can determine which roads should be paved first, whichever district it is, and then funding, maybe some changes in how we fund things, because, you know, each one of us, we get, what, $30,000, $40,000 a year? We'll never be able to do anything with that. But if it all went into a pot and somebody could objectively say this road is the most traveled and whatever all the criteria is, and it's this long, maybe we look at that, and that's something we can discuss later. But, you know, I have people calling me all the time. I had a gentleman from your district who called about Palk Road. He was upset because he read in the paper where he thought you may be paving Pottsville and what's that other road?
Davis Walker,
and he said, you know, Halk Road is this and that and the other, and it's been on the list. And I said, yep. I said, we promised Commissioner Patterson that we wouldn't forget Halk Road. And so, anyway, I think we need some sort of system, because we all have paving needs. And Commissioner Moody, you and I have problems, and you've got quite a few in your district, too.
And I hear about them, too. I didn't mention them tonight, but so, I have a list.
Right. So, anyhow, I want to invite everybody to the Shady Grove Community Center. There's an open house Thursday evening from 5 to 7. We are going to have a little bit of food and everything. We're paying for that ourselves. So it's not funded by the county, but I would like to invite y'all. Please come and take a look Thursday, 5 to 7. I want to say a special thank you to Rwanda for the past 2 weeks. I know you have had a lot on your plate. A lot of things coming your way, and I think, and I did come up and check on her a few times too, and you handled everything. I don't know how you did what you did, but somehow or another, I know you stayed up night and day to get it done, but I just want you to know how much that this one commissioner, and I'm sure everybody else, appreciates your dedication and what you do. It's really appreciated. I want to thank everybody for coming. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be here. Anything else?
Yes.
Okay.
I was first. I want to thank Deputy Blue. Sheriff Padgett gets credit for that Memorial Day function out there, but I know you did all the work. And that was very nice, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I know I appreciate it.
I echo that too. Good job.
You mentioned road paving and criteria for paving the most needy roads first. After I was elected in 2004, Jack Brown was on the county commission for 2 years. He and I together got the board to adopt the road paving policy. It spells out the criteria. And the only way we can get this thing passed from the board, you know, I'm all for what you suggested. Just take all the road paving money and put it in one big pot, and then pave the road that needs paving the worst first. And but the only way you would get the board to agree to approve this policy was to split the road paving money, half of it in the column account, and half of it in the district. And that way we could finally got 3 votes to do that. So maybe we need in a workshop to revisit the criteria and see if anything has changed. But I'm totally agree. that we need to put all our money in the same pocket. Whatever road, whether it's in your district, or Jim's district, or mine, or which, you know, pay the one that needs paving the worst first. And I'll say this, not ever advocating for a tax increase, but a considerable amount of our road paving money is allocated to the road and bridge fund to keep from having to increase the millage. So if you want to increase the millage to fund the road and bridge, then that would free up more money for road paving. But I don't have the appetite for that right now. So let's leave that alone.
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
I'd like to
study
instead of millage
in
the road department, you have to share that millage with the
citizens.
Apply it and grab the millage.
Well, if you put all the money in one pot, then you do what you have to do. If you've got a bridge somewhere or something, you do what you have to do. But then the rest of it could perhaps pave a road that would never get paved. I mean, if I save my $30,000, I won't be here, you know, that long, I'm sure. And so, and probably y'all won't either. So
pave dead end roads and connector roads ought to be the first one out.
Yeah, that's right.
The fire chief's part of that, if it's connector. Motor traffic, that's number one. But don't pave dead end roads.
You know, I'm just want whoever the decision makers were that decided which road, just make sure that they're fair and objective, that, you know, they don't favor one commissioner over another, or
what. We'll have to draw straws.
Okay, any other discussion? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Anybody got a question for me?
Thanks, sir. I looked at that 113 pages in the appendix. Back at the Madison, oh, this would be a quick one.
Oh, you're the one.
I'm James.
Right.
Right.
Right.